Attention, radio listeners.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
What would happen to me if I ate this whole bag?
You might have the runs.
And booty might be burning.
How are my little crackers today?
Good. 2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
So? You don't care what the American people think?
No, I think you cannot be blown off course by the fluctuations in the public opinion.
I don't like his tone.
You're being a tool, man.
What did you want the man to do?
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
You're such a dick.
So?
Much. I just want to smash your face in.
So?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
How about that Pluto?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, that's so terrific.
Roll another one.
Oh, that's it. I left Big Boy for this.
Just like the other one.
This is bullshit, man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Fist me.
Oh! And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, D.
I've never known such gladness.
So.
Roll.
I'm so bored.
Just like the other one.
How wet are you right now?
This one seems to be about to end.
Kevin, goddammit.
I don't have another sin.
Ooh, ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
No!
And now.
You did it.
No, Weed did it. Our feature presentation.
I love that show, Sarah Silverman Show.
She's great.
She's the best. It is 5:32. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, the 24th of Aprilingus.
You can pick up the phone and give us a call right now for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, Friday edition, 1-800-520-1067. I will take your calls in a moment and give you a prize. I want to start by acknowledging Steve, K-Rock Lister in Portland, who sent this email yesterday. Hey, guys, thanks for having Chris Pronger on your show today. Let the Kevin and Bean curse begin. Go Sharks.
Oh. How'd that work out for him?
And let's also thank Ryan, who wrote in. Hey, guys, thanks for screwing over the Ducks yet again by having a player on during the playoffs. Well, interesting. How about 4-0 last night for Anaheim? Mother
yeah.
Effers. How about that?
Woo-hoo.
We will accept your apologies now, please.
And for the information of the listeners who are wondering, no, we did not interview anybody from the Lakers this week. So you don't even look at us, all right?
We should have.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that would have helped.
Because we're anti-curse now.
That's correct. We're just the opposite.
I think we broke the curse a long time ago, but there are some people who are looking for, you know, looking for somebody to blame when things don't go their way and we're convenient. But clearly, we're not hurting these
people.
I'm
holding fast to the idea that the curse was because of Matt Money Smith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
When he was here, there was a curse. When he left, no curse.
There was a time and a place when the curse seemed pretty serious.
No.
Yeah, there was.
There were a few times where we just had to chalk it up to coincidence. I never thought it was us, but I can understand why some listeners thought for a while that we were bad luck.
The Gagne incident was...
That was the worst.
Supernatural, almost.
Right.
I mean, the guy hadn't blown a save in practically over a year. And talks to the Kevin and Bean show that night. He pitches like a little league.
Yeah, because odds are that he would continue for the rest of his life.
No, that was crazy.
Those are the odds.
That was only like a couple weeks after.
Here's the thing about
Jicky
the curse:
giving up like 90 goals after being on a streak where he was just unconscious.
Here's the thing about the curse: guys do well, guys do poorly, and nobody keeps score when we win.
Exactly.
That's so
like
true.
Today. Like today. No one's noticing today, hey, they had Chris Pringer on, and he had a great game last night. The Ducks won 4-0, which never happens in the playoffs.
Or a couple weeks ago, we had Mayhem Miller in studio for over an hour, and then he choked a guy out in like a minute a couple days later.
There you go.
All right, then.
Yeah, the thing like with Gagne is that it didn't happen after 35 saves. It didn't happen after 50 saves. It only happened after we talked to him at 62 or whatever it was. I think that was what really stoked a lot of folks' flames.
Sure, but those people are dumb.
Those people are wrong. I'll tell you that.
That too. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number for Kevin Amin's What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. How about a brand new Kevin Amin What It Do t-shirt? That's what you get today. We were talking about the Lakers anyway. Why don't we start with Ray? He's in Santa Monica on line 3 on the Kevin Amin Show. Good morning, Ray.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Ray.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just kind of depressed. Well, I guess not depressed. The Lakers lost last night, and, you know, I guess it was kind of given to the Utah Jazz was such a good team at home.
And you have a great home record and a terrible away record, but you also got the idea that the Lakers weren't firing all cylinders, and they really could have beat them had they stepped it up at all.
Yeah, because Kobe would hit the shot at the end, but, you know, also the Jazz really held them, you know, to under the yearly score that they, you know, that they usually have. They usually score over 100 points a game and, you know, held them under 90 even.
Yeah. Well, I think we're in big trouble. Oh, wait, no, I don't.
A lot of the analysts that I saw were calling the Lakers in 5. I mean, they expected they'd lose one in Utah.
Yeah.
No one's really panicking at this point, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I'm not panicking. I was hoping for the sweep.
Well, of course. But.
You know, but it looks like that we might have to go, you know, 6 games. Five games, 6 games.
You don't ever want to see them lose because, you know, they could probably not lose if they played well. But
right.
It's difficult mentally, I think, to stay that high all the time.
Sure.
Although the Armenian comedian would say differently. All right. Let's
go. Want to talk to Millie and Whittier?
Yes, I do.
The other big sports story? She's on line 7.
Hey, Millie.
Hey, what did you guys?
What did you do?
You guys can talk to the Ducks whenever you want. You guys talk to the Ducks, Jiggy,
yep,
every playoff game when they won the Cup.
How about that? They went all the way to the Cup.
As a matter of fact, we did.
No one brings that up. Nobody remembers that except for you.
I remember that. I'm a huge Ducks fan. You guys can talk to them anytime you want.
All
go
the time,
Ducks.
Is that so he doesn't? Are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time, him?
thank you, Billy, for the call. Wasn't there a, did we put that on a t-shirt at some point? Did I hear that was an item that was available?
Yes. That was, and you're lying about wanting to talk about peanut butter was.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Lightning
meal. Hey, let's change gears, go to Anaheim, and talk to Adrian. He's on line 8 on the Kevin DeBeat Show. I did not get a chance to watch our friend Jimmy Kimmel's show last night, but, of course, it was a big night with Depeche Mode on. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, what it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do?
Were you there last night?
Yes, I was there. It was awesome.
How many
Martin
songs?
Gore did... played... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. How many songs did they play?
They played 5.
5 songs. All
okay.
right.
Yeah.
And Martin Gore, you were starting to say?
Oh, he was great. He played so awesome. I mean, it was like he was just a different player the last night. And Jimmy Kimmel was there. Of course, he was hilarious.
Wait, Jimmy Kimmel was there at the Jimmy Kimmel Live show? Are you kidding me?
How many people were there? I didn't see that.
At least 10,000.
Okay. Wow. That ain't bad.
Did you just go down there and show up, or are you one of the K-Rock listeners that won the VIP seats?
No, actually, I scored tickets through IOTA.
For
free.
That's
and
the
K-Rock
website.
They're representing.
That's the website that you can get tickets to see Jimmy Kimmel on.
Mm-hmm.
I think oneiota.com.
That's right. Yeah, it's great to have Depeche Mode back. The new record's really, really good, and I know we've been talking to Dave Gahana. We do that Tuesdays with Dave feature, and he's very excited about this big world tour right now. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Courtney in Long Beach. Good morning, Courtney.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that Lisa May always says, what it do, after everyone says, what it do, nephew, and does not wait until someone says, what it do, baby boo.
Ah. Yeah, wow. I think she's trying to short-circuit that 45-second greeting.
Yeah, yes. when need to talk to her about that.
No, I think...
No, we're kind of moving along fast.
I think she does the right thing because we really... We want you to get to whatever point you're calling about, so she says what to do in the hopes that you'll just go ahead and move on, but thank you for that.
Instead of belaboring the point.
Right, which
really
is the only reason for your call. So you're back.
And now here we are, right, a minute later.
And people are going, well, when are they going to get to something interesting? Exactly. Why is Courtney still talking about what it do? All right, let's do one more. Robbie is in Moreno Valley. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Robbie. Thanks for calling in. What it do?
What it do? What it do, baby?
What it do,
whatever
Robbie?
You want.
Yeah, that's what
you,
I'm
Robbie.
Saying. What's going on?
Hey, I called last week about Pitchman, and if you guys caught it, did you catch it this week?
Did not.
Did not. It was awesome, but Billy Mays is a prima donna. And the second thing is, there's a show on Discovery Channel called Time Warp, and they are doing Metallica next week.
What is Time Warp?
I mean, Mike understand, seems to know.
I understand the word, but how does
that's
it work?
The one I told you where they put stuff in super slow motion. You guys yelled at me and said, it sounds dumb. Oh. I said, it's the best show ever.
Well, how's Metallica going to be on it?
I don't know.
They're going to film Metallica and slow down like Lars is singing, the drumming, the guitar. It's freaking awesome.
Oh, I've actually seen them do this with a different band. They put cameras on like the guitar chords and the cymbals and stuff, and then they show that in extreme slow-mo, and so you can see
the vibration stuff.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool.
It's freaking awesome.
Sounds cool.
And put the Beatles in a smart car and smash them.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Robbie. Put the Beatles in a smart car, smash them.
This is a Discovery Channel. What night is that on, that show Time Warp?
I don't know. It's on, you know, those Discovery shows. They're on, you know, ad nauseum throughout the
week. Hey, Robbie, do you know when that show's on?
Yeah, I believe it's on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's Tuesday night because I DVR it. It's freaking awesome. You guys got to check it out.
All right, we will.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks
for the tip.
He's our TV guy.
When Mike says it, we doubt it. But when he calls, we're like, okay,
some
we'll check it out.
Some guy we don't know, some random dude just calls. We go, oh, that sounds interesting.
Well, we've learned to, you know, distrust certain people in the room.
We don't know whether a random listener has credibility or not, but we do know that Mike does it.
We also know that Mike is very much hated by Freddie Roach, who is a world-famous boxing trainer.
It would appear to be the case.
He's the trainer of Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
And he is upset with Mike, and we are upset with Mike as well.
Absolutely.
And we'll tell you about that today. You can't find reliable help these days. That's all I'm saying. Try to get him to do one thing, he does something else. Rich Eisen is going to be on the program today from the NFL Network. I guess the NFL draft is tomorrow.
I heard talk this morning about it.
Pretty much 15 top players are going to be from USC, so that's good.
There's some poor schmuck out there, and forgive me for not knowing who's likely to go first, whether it's Sanchez or somebody else, but there's one guy out there going, oh, my God, am I going to have to play for the Lions?
I know.
Why did I bother? Why did I bother going to college? Why did I bother starting football if I would end up on the Lions? Because they have to have the first draft pick, right? I mean,
they do.
They didn't win a game last year.
They're supernaturally bad.
Yes.
Really aggressively bad.
It's such a terrible thing to do.
It is.
The best people that are coming out of college.
Hey, I'm going into the NFL. Who are you playing for?
I'm sorry, who? I didn't hear the team.
But at least they're in Detroit, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly. It's a win-win.
Today's Friday, so we have Adam Carolla in the studio this week in Rage.
Awesome.
I wonder if he's upset about anything this week.
I believe he is.
I wonder if he just coasted through the week and everything was fine.
Ralph will be,
not likely.
Ralph will be here with a movie beat as well because it's Friday. We have Cindy Margolis in the studio today.
Oh.
Talking about her new TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Panettiere is not hot.
Yep.
What?
Oh, correct. What?
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. What? And we're going to tell you about an event that you could go to this weekend that might be the best event ever.
Really?
Talking about the L.A. Grilled Cheese Invitational.
Yeah!
Come on.
That is classic. So we'll do all that, and we will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
All this weekend in the world-famous K-Rock, by the way, we are kicking off Green Day Anywhere in the USA. We'll be giving copies of the brand-new album away, 21st Century Breakdown, and then... If you win the grand prize drawing that we do on Monday morning, you get to go to any Green Day show in the U.S. How about that?
Pretty
How
cool.
About that?
So that starts sometime. I don't know. 551. Ralph is here with the show biz. Good morning, Ralph.
You ran out of details quickly.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't
I didn't read the paperwork. Oh. I kind of skimmed it. So it either starts at 8 o'clock or noon or Sunday. I don't know.
I got
we'll
you.
Let you know.
You need a vacation, man. Take some more time off.
He's been working for like 3 weeks.
I know. He needs to get some rest.
I do
the rest
too, actually.
Pick up the load. It's okay. We'll do a show.
I'm fragile.
No worries. Yeah. Before I get to the showbiz news, how about some Star Trek tickets? I have tickets to the world premiere, the red carpet world premiere of Star Trek at the Grauman's Chinese Theater on the 30th. The movie hits theaters May 8th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else. And with all the stars and all the paparazzi, it's quite an event if you've never been to a Hollywood premiere.
All the nerds.
How dare you, sir? You know what? We can be sci-fi enthusiasts without being called names.
No.
Thank you, sir.
No.
This geek and nerd thing that's been going on all week, I'm not sure I appreciate it.
I'm sure you don't.
I've got five pairs of tickets to some true Star Trek fans who can answer the following trivia question. If you're one of the first five people with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067, you'll get a pair of tickets. In the legendary episode, The Trouble with Tribbles. You know Tribbles, Kevin. Even you know Tribbles,
I
right?
I love the Tribbles.
I do remember those little
those
furry...
Those little furry creatures that that infested the Enterprise. Just yeah. They just... They breed like Tribbles, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Who was responsible for bringing Tribbles to the Enterprise?
Who was responsible?
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. Who was the guy who introduced the Star Trek the crew to the Tribble?
Okay. Right.
Who's the guy who had the Tribbles? 1-800-520-1067.
If I remember the episode correctly, Ralph, kind of a key plot point because everybody blames it on everybody else at the end, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Wow.
But there was one guy who introduced the Tribble to the show.
Bean just asked a question about Star Trek that you didn't know.
Yeah, I don't remember that being a plot point in the series, but I haven't seen the episode in a while, so it may have been.
Right.
I don't remember. But call now with that answer, 1-800-520-1067. It just keeps getting better.
Right.
First, Star Trek's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have announced they will be starring in yet another live-action film.
Yes.
No. 2011, it's going to be coming out. Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, and their guru Splinter will all be returning.
That is such good news.
This, of course, all coincides with the Turtles' 25th anniversary, which kicks off Thursday in New York with a celebration.
Yeah! Yes, it does.
Wordplay! With the Mutant Ninja Turtles celebration, New York City, the screening of the very first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film will be at the Tribeca Film Festival to celebrate. The Empire Building lights tonight will be turned turtle green order to honor the Ninja Turtles.
It's going
to
be crazy.
It's just sweet.
I never got the Turtles. I never really locked into them being interesting. I don't know why.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
You have to be high. That's why.
Because they're the best.
If you're high.
Are they?
Okay.
Yeah. Yo, Leonardo. Let's go get some pizzas, bro. Best. Jay Leno is sick. Apparently, he checked himself into St. Joe's Medical Center over there in Burbank, California, after canceling last night's Tonight Show, as well as tonight's Tonight Show.
Wow.
A representative for the show says he's okay. But Jay was telling some people he's suffering from food poisoning.
Oh.
Yeah, so that may be why he's in there. Or, I've always warned Jay, don't read your monologues before you go on to do them on the air, you know.
Get sick.
No good can come from that.
He's a legendary workhorse. I think this is the first time he's ever missed a day that wasn't scheduled. The Tonight Show, all the years he's been doing it.
Well, if he's got food poisoning, I'm fine not watching that.
Yeah, hello.
Good with that.
There'd be a lot of editing of him running out from behind the desk backstage and then coming back again. Toilet paper trailing from his pants. Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag. Getting married tomorrow.
Oh, that's so great. Those two little lovebirds.
Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California is reportedly the scene of the crime. Lauren Conrad has announced she will not be attending the affair.
No, really?
Oh.
She's going to show them.
Drama.
Hope she'll show up at the last minute.
Yeah. Does anyone have anything to say why these two should not be getting married? I do. Dun, dun, dun.
Continue next season.
MTV says the rehearsal dinner will be at Wolfgang Puck's restaurant Cut in Beverly Hills tonight. So if you're out and about in Beverly Hills, want to stop by and buy Spencer and Heidi a drink, that's where they'll be.
Think about Heidi making the decision of all the people in the world that Spencer is the one she's going to marry and vice versa.
Yeah, really. It's just bad
for
both.
How do you choose either of those as your life partner?
You don't. You're on TV.
And they won't.
They need a storyline.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to believe, especially for Psycho Mike, but apparently there's such a thing as too thin when it comes to women.
Nope.com.
I certainly believe that.
Lindsay Lohan.
Way too thin.
Yeah.
Apparently is causing some major concern amongst her friends and family. Two doctors recently spoke out about Lindsay. Dr. Kent Holtorf and Dr. James Walton agree that Lindsay looks to be somewhere between 95 and 100 pounds in photos they were shown.
Wow.
Her healthy weight should be somewhere between 120 and 130. They say that you can point out disturbing physical features like protruding bones from her back.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Which signify a lack of fat, which can cause illness because you lose the ability to fight off infection and repair injuries if you get below a certain weight. So, Lindsay is too thin. Yeah. Too thin.
Ralph, that's, I agree that physically women can get too thin.
Yes.
But emotionally, we can never let them know that. There's never really a bottom. They should understand that.
They should always be striving.
Keep them off balance.
Striving for zero gravity.
That's the only way to do it?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe we shouldn't take our advice from Psycho Mike.
Larry King's the best.
He is.
He had on Levi Johnston. You know who that is? It's Bristol Palin's former boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. This is her baby daddy.
Their baby daddy, the one they trotted out at the during the election.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to get married, but then they split up.
Yep.
Sounds like an essential interview. Thank God CNN is devoting their time to him.
Yeah. Larry King had him on the show.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Yes, he is. And Larry asked him, did you ever have sex with Bristol in Sarah Palin's house? And people are upset thinking that question is out of line.
They're upset at Larry?
Yeah.
I'm upset at him for having that dude on.
But it is sort of a pointless question. Did you ever have sex with her
of course.
In Sarah Palin's house? Levi answered, you know, Larry, I'm a gentleman, you know, and I don't, you know, kiss and tell. So, you know, I don't really think that, you know, that really matters, he said.
Expand on that.
But he's on Larry King's show, talking, but he doesn't kiss and tell?
Talking about his relationship with Bristol Palin, but apparently doesn't kiss and tell.
How's that, how's the governor's abstinence program working in Alaska?
Well, same as her meth program. Mm. Do we have a winner for my trivia question?
We do.
Let's talk to Jim in Glendale, shall we?
Glendale!
Jim?
Yo.
Who was responsible for introducing Tribbles to the world of Star Trek?
Cyrano Jones.
Cyrano Jones. Con man. Merchant. No good, Nick. You're absolutely right.
All around space rogue.
That's right. All around space rogue.
All right. Take it easy, Jim.
Congratulations, Jim. Hang on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the world red carpet premiere of Star Trek at Grauman's Chinese Theater at the end of the month.
Fantastic.
All right. Hold on. Thank you also to Will, Cynthia, Robert, and Rich, who also called in. Cynthia, by the way, a female Star Trek fan.
Calling for her husband.
Got the
not
answer
calling
for her husband.
Let's go to Cynthia. Let's go to Cynthia. Right. Cynthia?
Yes?
Congratulations.
Thank
you're one of our
you.
Winners. Are you a Star Trek fan?
Yes, I am.
So you knew the answer was Cyrano Jones.
Yes, I did. And the plot point, I think, was they found out that there was a Klingon spy on the other side.
That's right. He was working when they were trying to get the Quadratriticale, the grain they were trying to get to the space station.
Let's all take it easy here.
That's right. That's what made them multiply, because they're eating all the grain.
Cynthia, take it easy.
Okay,
Cynthia, here's the question we have for you, though, my dear. Did you call because you want to go, or are you calling for some man behind the scenes?
Okay, yes. I was calling because my husband wants to go.
That's what I thought. Okay.
But I know a lot about Star Trek because of him.
Sure.
And you love it.
Yes.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Yeah, right. She's a good wife.
She's a fan, too.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Stop. Uh-huh. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Shirley MacLaine is 75 years old today. One of Kevin's favorites, actress, singer, director Barbara Streisand celebrates her 67th birthday. Cedric the Entertainer is 45. Jamin Hunsu. Blood Diamond, Amistad, and what was that? Underground high school MMA movie.
Never Back Down. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Jamin. He is 45 years old. Melinda Clark from The O.C.
Oh, yeah.
So hot.
Hell yeah.
40 years old. Eric Balfour from 24 turns 32. Kelly Clarkson celebrates her 27th birthday. Not even a question. Okay. Not even a question.
I
had to think about it.
No, you didn't. That's the thing.
She airbrushes up pretty well.
Well, everyone
that's
does.
That's not a qualification.
Everybody
I'm just
does.
Saying
so you.
That's the,
you would get a bell if we could airbrush
I'm
you.
I'm saying the image when you said Kelly Clarkson was the image of her on her most recent album, and she looks really, really good on it, but then I have to temper that with, but she doesn't look anything like that in real life.
I'm telling you people, we need to have a conversation about the keeper of the bell.
I agree.
Did I hit the bell or not?
You did not, but you
but
thought
about it.
But
the fact that you even but thought about that, reaching for it.
That's my job, though, is to analyze in a split second whether to hit it or not.
Well, that
I made the
split
right
second.
Choice.
Let me tell you what, it's not a split second. Not a split second. You could not be a goal judge in hockey.
I'm defending my efforts.
They have gone in, but I'm not sure.
How'd the Flyers do last night, Ralph?
They won 3-0, bitch!
How about that?
You're alive.
In Pittsburgh, nice.
Yeah. Our goalie, Martin Perron.
Uh-huh.
stole a game in Pittsburgh. So the series goes back to Philly tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
Very excited. And Jason Ritter of the All-American Rejects is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The largest and most exciting grilled cheese cooking contest in the nation happens in Southern California this weekend. We got some guys on. In fact, the founder of the Grilled Cheese Invitational joining us in about a half an hour here on the Kevin DeVito Show. There better be some goddamn grilled cheese coming in with Tim, by the way.
I agree.
Is that happening, or are we just talking about grilled cheese? What's going on?
That's the only reason to have them in. Yeah. You think we're going to talk about grilled cheese? That sounds like something you would do on your blog.
they're grating cheese as we speak. I'm looking at dudes grating balls of cheese.
That's all that matters.
Oh, it's the best.
That's great.
How about if they just serve the sandwiches and we don't talk about grilled cheese? Can we do that?
I love grilled cheese so much. All right. Here's the thing. Ralph was busting on me a few minutes ago about me being the keeper of the bell. Yeah. And I'd like to say that I have been an outstanding steward of the bell for many, many years.
Nope.
I do an excellent job.
Nope.
I'm like a referee who 99.999% of the time nobody even notices because I make an undisputed call. But every once in a while, my integrity is thrown into question with the bell. Okay?
How do you judge the great referees, though? The ones that make the hard calls. Are the ones that go to work the Super Bowl.
And I'm going to tell you that I do make the hard calls, and most of the time you guys don't even notice because it's spot on. But every once in a while I am called into question, and there is a challenge. There's a referee challenge, and that's what's going on here today.
It's a challenge by Psycho Mike, but he's wrong.
I agree, but there's a lot of support for Psycho Mike's opinion.
Never has there been less of a debate, I think, about one of these girls that we've disagreed on. Usually, it's can go back and forth. People have positions. This is just wrong.
Wait, no. There was plenty of people on my side yesterday.
I'm on Mike's side.
You're on Mike's side?
I am.
Well, that just proves my point, then.
Okay. Are you people all crazy?
Let's explain what's happening. A few weeks ago, we had a debate that spilled over onto the air over the Twilight actress Kristen Stewart. And I was overruled by the group about Kristen Stewart no longer receiving a bell. Okay? I can accept that. Yesterday, Ralph did a story about the Beautiful Heroes actress, Hayden Panettiere, who got robbed while she was on vacation. And Mike, I guess this was in Cinco de la Tarde yesterday, right? Mike screams out of the back of the room, no bell. And we just all stopped and just looked at him like, what the hell are you talking about? Mike, do you have anything you want to add to that? Or is it just you being stupid and wanting attention?
No, I'm sure she's a very nice girl. And she's not ugly, but she ain't hot.
She's not hot.
She's absolutely hot.
No.
She's
reasonably attractive, and that's it. That's as far as I'll go.
Do you know the one we're talking about? The one who plays the cheerleader, Claire, on Heroes?
Yeah,
the hot blonde with the tight body?
The one that has no neck and midget arms? That one? Yeah. The one that has...
She absolutely has a neck, by the way.
The one that has my breastplate and pudgy, stumpy legs like Barry Sanders?
Wow, you're an a-hole.
She's a power plug.
She's not.
She's like the fourth hottest chick that was a cheerleader at your high school. And you're like, okay, if I can't have the real, like, grade A hot chick cheerleaders, I'll settle for you because you're, like, here. And she looks like, you know.
Psycho Mike, and I say people are ugly when they're not.
Yeah.
Because
I'm perfectly proportioned.
Because I'm beautiful.
Never...
Eat protein.
You're
a beautiful person.
You're right. No, you're
I've
right.
I've never really understood the absolute craziness over her.
Okay.
I think she's cute.
Here's the deal.
She's a little power plug.
She's exactly right. Is she someone you might turn and look a second time at the mall? Yeah. If she had some short shorts on, you go, all right, give her a look. Is she...
You don't want her to have short shorts because she's got Barry Sanders legs.
Is she someone that belongs in the upper pantheon of hot chicks in Hollywood? Not at
That's
all.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying she's bell-worthy. We give bell... What, can we only give bells to the top 10 hottest women in Hollywood now?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
We give bells to anyone that just kind of strikes you as hot. It doesn't have to be the hottest. It doesn't have to be hotter than anyone else. Just strikes you as hot.
Okay.
She's
a hot chick on television.
And she's not. She's not a hot chick on television.
She's
dumb. Not the hottest chick on her show.
She's
not the hottest chick on her... She's not even in the hottest chick on any scene on her show. Usually there's at least four chicks on Heroes that are better looking than her.
You're dumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
Last night, the new LG commercial debuted with her, the LG phone, and she's in a bathing suit reclining on a chaise lounge, and she looks great.
She does. Yeah.
You keep saying she's fat and everything. She's not. She's just short.
She
happens to be short.
She's not fat. She's just not thin. A lot of girls are short. A lot of girls are short, especially in Hollywood. Plenty of girls. Carmen Electra's probably her same height. Different body. She doesn't have stumpy little arms, and she's not a power plug. She's not a little beef nugget like Hayden Panettiere.
Neither is Hayden Panettiere, by the way.
Right. Listen, I'm just saying my argument might get a little bit more credence in that your guys' argument is that I like to drink protein shakes. You have nothing to say except she is hot.
Well, first of all, our complaint is that they are man-made protein shakes, first of all. Second of all, the MySpace debate was going on. Apparently, this is up at the Kevin DeMean MySpace page, and there were a ton of comments coming in on this yesterday. Everything from the wrong people who agree with Mike. No way, man. She's average, has weird, stumpy arms. It's like they forgot to grow after she turned 18. To another guy who says, definitely caliente. One else who says, oh, my God, yes, especially in Remember the Titans. On the MySpace board, she seems to be getting more support.
Really, what a
for
surprise.
The Bell yeah, what than a surprise. Against the Bell.
Here's the deal with the Bell. The Bell is not that picky. The Bell's picky, but not that picky. I mean, if they're reasonably hot, they get a Bell. We don't try to feel like Ralph said, keep it to the top 10.
It's not the supermodel of the world competition.
It's not the most good-looking woman in the world competition. It's if you're kind of hot, you get a Bell.
But your perception and your level of pickiness is way beyond.
It's excessive.
It is excessive.
On a regular basis.
We know you disagree because you think you're perfect. But it turns out that's not the case.
This has nothing to do with my self-image.
You always look at the supermodels, and those are the ones that you drool over and agreed they're smoking hot. But there is another level above and beyond
After
that.
After all the conversations you and I have had about people that work in this building, like salespeople and secretaries and things like that, how can you even say that? I'm perfectly happy with girls that are just okay. I'm simply saying that she, Hayden Panettiere, is right on that in that fence. She's just okay. She looks like a midget who hasn't, like, she has midget proportions. Where her arms are like a little.
Her neck's buried into her chin. No, but you can be short and not. There's something weirdly out of proportion about her. You can be short and fine.
Let me ask you this question. You're not being a little picky.
Listen, come on. And I'm not trying to knock her down or anything.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
There's a difference between you pointing at someone that walks through the hallways at K-Rock and then who you talk about when it comes to pictures and photos on the internet and stuff. Because you're always like, oh my God, look at her fupa. Oh, she's huge. She needs to lose 10 pounds. Hey, she's 20. She's hideous. You're always doing that stuff.
All you guys do that.
Yeah, of course.
All of you.
Yeah, we do.
Freakishly picky when you're looking at women,
which
in
is
pictures.
Absurd because
I mean,
look at us.
But, yeah, exactly.
And I'm perfect.
But we don't let it affect the Bell.
Look, and let me just.
the Bell is different.
It is different.
Maybe because Hayden is in Hollywood and is considered a young sex symbol, she's compared to a lot other. Of you know maybe the world's elite women and that can kind of throw me off of how I judge her. I understand that, but
Bell is not for elite. The Bell is
you're
just
right.
For hot.
No, and I'm
she's
saying,
the hot
maybe
girl next door type. She's not like the sex bomb type. She's a different kind of hot. That's all.
I think
she's just.
I'm saying if you walk down the street in Laguna Beach and there's every chick you pass by is better than her. That's all.
I'm not saying every chick you pass by is better than her. Well, I'm glad you're being rational.
The average girl next door in Southern California is better than that. And if that's the standard for the girl next door, that's all I'm saying. She's ill-proportioned. She's built like a ruler with stumpy midget arms and legs like a fullback.
That's just stupid. Okay.
Let me stop you right there. We have to take a break. We do have the phone lines are blowing up at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to include you in on the conversation in the next segment. Mike, here's another question, and I don't know if this applies to whether the Bell is deserved to be hit or not, but would you hit it?
Oh, yeah, but that means nothing, dude. Look at his history. Would you hit it is way below the Bell standard.
You don't think you're being a little picky. Honestly.
I'm not trying to marry the broad. I'm just talking about how I feel about how the Bell should be used. That's my personal opinion. And I seem to believe that there's a lot of people out there that agree with me. That's all.
You seem to believe that there's a lot of people out there who agree with you? I'm saying if we were to open up the phones,
we'll see.
Well, there is a lot of support in the office.
I will
tell you that. Yesterday when this came up, he had Dave on his side, which I don't understand.
But Dave's
at all.
Bad.
Yeah, but Dave doesn't like Angelina Jolie.
Alex. He had Miss Cleo. Apparently, intern Armgina is on Mike's side on this one as well. Super Steve is weighing in on Mike's side. I don't know. There's a little bit more support against Hayden than I would have expected.
In this building, there's overwhelming support for me. And I don't
really,
know what that
what a
says.
Surprise.
But I'm just saying, I don't know what that says. And I've, out of all you guys here, have interviewed her face-to-face more than anyone. I've spent some time with her and looked at her up close. She's pretty.
I'm sorry, Larry King. We didn't realize we were giving out our resumes now.
I'm just saying I've had a chance. I've been lucky enough.
She's pretty.
She's pretty, but she's not.
That's it. That's all there is.
If she's pretty, she gets a bell. Her six face gets way dropped down seven pegs by her three body.
Okay, let's leave it there and come back with your telephone calls. All the lines are full, but please keep calling. We'll get to you as fast as we can. 1-800-520-1067. Hayden Panettiere, Bell or no Bell? You have your say next on K-Rock. Wait, which actress are we talking about, guys?
Hayden Panettiere.
Hayden Panettiere.
That midget meat nugget, Hayden Panettiere.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Aaron writes in, you know, I never got the Mike haters. I actually used to appreciate Mike on the radio, but this idea that Hayden Panettiere isn't hot is just plain wrong. Send him to the basement and never let him out. Damn you, Mike. Damn you straight to hell. That's what Aaron says. We're taking your calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Ben in Dana Point on line two, trying to make a decision whether Hayden Panettiere is bell-worthy or not. Ralph, Kevin, and Bean all agreed without question she is, and then there are the people who are wrong on the other side. Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hi, how you guys doing? Hi,
good.
Lisa.
Hi, Ben.
Okay, Hayden Panettiere, no bell.
Because?
Thank
no
you.
No bell.
Because?
Because she's playing. So just like Mike said, you go to Laguna Beach, you go Dana Point, you go to Newport, the girls, they all look at least that good.
Right, and they should all get a bell.
Yeah. No. Just because they're other hot women doesn't mean she's not hot.
But I think Ben brings up a good point. That
you guys got to set a standard. The bell has to be reserved to extremely hot.
No.
Not just normal hot.
Look.
Hey, you're not the bell setter. Hey, Ben, you're not the bell setter. You don't tell us when to ring the bell.
But I think Ben brings up a good point. Ben from Dana Point, if you go to Dana Point High School and the average chick there at that high,
There's plenty of hot chicks in Dana Point.
Is above her.
Right.
Then they should get bells too. The bell should be above the average standard. It should be the above the Mendoza
line. Hot girls in Dana Point aren't average compared to other women. They're just hotter girls in Dana Point.
We can't set the bell at what is passable in a bar in Green Bay. It has to be what's like automatically, as soon as you say their name, your boner gets a little tip of the cap.
And those of us that are heterosexual
think Hayden Panettiere.
That's what happens.
All right. Well,
all right. Let's try Alan in Simi Valley on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Alan, thanks for hanging on. What say you?
Yeah, I don't even know why you let that guy on the air. She is so fine.
Yeah, Psycho Mike? Yeah, he talks a lot.
Well, you know, we did start this debate because so many people in the office actually ended up agreeing with Mike yesterday. At first, it wasn't going to go on the air, but then we actually discovered, and I was included in the group, that we actually kind of agree with Mike.
It was kind of shocking. The fact that we're the judge and jury over who's hot and not is stupid enough.
Right.
Okay. Dumb enough to begin with.
But if that is the case, then by all means, let's be true to it, you know?
And also, I'd like to point out that I'm happy to take phone calls and read emails, but we're the UN Security Council, and we basically decide. Mike is Zambia, and he can stand up and make a speech on the floor, but it's not going to change anybody's mind.
No, okay? I appreciate.
He's still a third world country.
I appreciate that you even heard my argument. I'm not. He's trying got a to lot change, of viruses. Sway anybody.
Let's take one more. Tony is in West Covina. He's on line six. By the way, grilled cheese invitational coming in after the break here on the Kevin Beach Truck Garage.
That's a 1-2 punch.
Tony, we're going to give you the final word. What do you say?
No bell.
Kaboom.
Yeah. Why is that?
Why? If you're going to give her a bell, you might as well give Frodo from Lord of the Rings a bell.
See, that's just comparable. Dumb.
Come on. You're being funny. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right.
I agree with the guy.
I know you agree with the guy. Here's what I would like to suggest. Psycho Mike says no. That should mean we automatically go with yes.
It really is. It is pretty much.
This is the anti-Mike bell.
That is a given.
That's correct.
All right. He is wrong, man.
So bell it. I got to tell you, while you guys were listening to Rise Against, I was privy to the 5 minutes of the dorkiest conversation I've ever heard in
how
my
dare you.
Entire life.
I don't
life.
Think it was dorky at all. I learned how some new you. Fascinating things.
This is the first dyed cheese in the history of human civilization. was one thing.
Is it marmalade? Marmalade?
Mimolette.
Mimolette.
And then the next one was, French. I'm a cheese importer. That was said.
Let me introduce our guest, Tim Walker. He is the founder of the Los Angeles Grilled Cheese Invitational, which is happening, believe it or not, it's back again. It just seems like yesterday was last year's event, but it's back again from noon till 6 at the Los Angeles State Historical Park in downtown L.A. Just $5 to get in. Tim, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I see you have an assistant with you in the kitchen today, too.
Oh, we have two assistants here, actually. We have Alex and Evan. They are the Hot Knives crew. They are 5-time champions at the Grilled Cheese Invitational.
Wow.
They are,
how many years have you had it?
This is the 7th one we've done here in Los
and
Angeles.
And they've won 5 of them?
They've won 5 separate trophies.
Wow.
Yeah. We're the most decorated competitors in the history of the tournament.
What are the categories that are up for prizes at the Invitational?
We have 3 separate categories of competition. The first one's called the Missionary Position, and that's your standard bread, standard butter, standard cheese. The second is called the Kama Sutra, of course, and that's any type of bread, any type of butter, any type of cheese, plus additional ingredients. But the trick is the inside has to be at least 60% cheese. And then the final is the Honey Pot. That's a freestyle dessert
category. Anything goes.
I like it.
Yeah, and it's by far the most exciting category so far.
They're cooking grilled cheese.
But they're putting cheese right in the pan. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anyone do that.
And then they're putting the bread on the cheese. Now, we took some heat when we told people that we were having people in from the Los Angeles Grilled Cheese Invitational. But we love grilled cheese.
It's the best food in the world.
Yeah. And the fact that you have an invitational where people come from all over the world to cook grilled cheese. Now, why are you setting the pan on top of the bread on top of the cheese?
What?
To press it.
Why are you putting the pan?
Well, it's about pressure. So if you apply pressure to the bread, the steam will rise and cook the cheese more efficiently.
The first amateur mistake of a grilled cheese is to let the bread burn and the cheese not melt. You need it to be gooey.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Would people be shocked how far grilled cheese cooking has come in recent years compared to the ones their mom used to make when they were kids?
Oh, absolutely. The grilled cheese for the longest time was held prisoner to the children's menu in most restaurants. So, and thanks to the event.
I'm sorry, it was held prisoner?
Oh, yes, against its own will. And thankfully, for the event and places like Campanile here in L.A., you know, everyone's been making an old school effort to get crazy
now,
with the concept.
When I go to a restaurant, this is one of the items that I do have to go to the children's menu usually to order, and everybody kind of makes fun of me, but I love grilled cheese. But I would never have thought in a million years, as much as I love grilled cheese, I should start some kind of an invitational tournament where people – what would cause you to think that?
Well, back in 2003, I was a fairly broke artist living in downtown L.A. and also vegetarian at the time, so I – you know, would make a lot of them myself, and a lot of my friends and I kept boasting about who would make the best grilled cheese invitational, and since I had an artist loft, I figured I might as well throw an event and see who is amongst us the grilled cheese champion.
I see.
The first one, we had about 16 competitors, and 100 judges showed up. It was an instant success.
100 judges.
Yeah.
16 competitors.
Which is really just people who are there to eat free
grilled cheese.
Of course,
exactly, so yeah. And it was an incredible success. It was the first event, and it was the one that we had to institute a no flamethrowers rule after the event because someone decided to cook their grilled cheese with a flamethrower in my living room.
Wow. Wow. But shouldn't that be in the free-for-all in that third category? Shouldn't they be able to honeypot or whatever you call it?
Honeypot?
Yeah, but we'd never get a permit from the fire department.
I see.
You know.
All right.
You know,
Tim,
no one
the event at the park tomorrow, again, the Los Angeles State Historical Park is in downtown L.A. on Spring Street starting at noon tomorrow. This is an outdoor event this year?
Absolutely, yeah.
And how many people will be coming to make grilled cheese sandwiches?
It looks like we have about 250 competitors. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, and we're expecting 5,000 people.
Wow.
People love cheese.
And now,
that's a good observation, Lisa. Now, do you make a living at this?
Not yet.
But you're going to.
Hopefully. You know, basically it's been about the love of the cheese and wanting to throw a good event where people can have a great time and stuff like that. So.
Right.
But the event
you need
is,
to take the thing on the road.
Yeah.
You can have the
you can have it all over the world.
San
this
Francisco
is what I want to ask.
Los Angeles.
This
Phoenix.
Is what I want to ask you about. We only found about Tim and the local event because I was online reading something on a blog about the Austin Invitational that was a couple of months ago. And that's when we started down the path of making phone calls. The Austin event was that weekend. And I guess we got in contact with, I don't know, is there a national headquarters that we might have called? And they said, oh, no, you guys should wait for the L.A. Invitational and talk to them instead. And that's why we're finally here today.
Yeah,
but
well.
Are they all related, these invitationals around the country?
Yeah, actually. We threw one up in San Francisco in February as well, and that one was insane. We had 500 people show up and 40 competitors. We threw it in Dolores Park. We actually did one in Oakland in 2007, too. But it is traveling. Wherever the event goes, I go. It's
sure, you're
know.
The event.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm the Art Linkletter of grilled cheese.
is there, like in the dog show world, there may be a dog that comes along every once in a while that everybody acknowledges is a great champion that is the one to be emulated. Is there a grilled cheese recipe that you can share that is considered the granddaddy at this point, the one that people most look up to?
I don't know. I'd have to defer to Alex and Evan on that one.
Alex and Evan?
Yeah, well, that's actually what we've been working on for this year, because this is the first year that we're not competing. We're retiring. We're putting up the
wait a minute. You got five awards.
You're a little young to retire.
Yeah. What happens when you lose after five awards?
Like
nothing but shame.
We're making way for future generations.
I see.
So the Hot Knives team has come up with what we consider the quintessential grilled cheese for this year to show those whippersnappers how to do it.
Okay.
And it involves two cheeses, one hard, one semi-soft. So you get the ooziness inside, crunchiness outside.
Right.
And we always use very fatty French butter, 83% fat, compared to the 81 or 2 American, and that 1% makes
all the
Are you kidding?
It's actually French style. It's from Vermont.
Okay, but you're saying instead of 81 or 82%, it's 83, and that makes a lot of difference?
83% butterfat, absolutely.
I have a quick question, guys. Does a quesadilla qualify as a grilled cheese?
No.
No.
It does. Well, we do allow them in the event.
Wow.
And in the Austin Invitational, we actually had a separate category for quesadillas. It was the lambada category.
I like it. Let me ask you guys this about the Kama Sutra category. You can put anything on it, right? What other sorts of things do people add to their grilled cheese? I mean, I would think of, you know, things like mushrooms, but I mean, I got an email from somebody who uses Miracle Whip on his. I mean, is that something you heard of before?
I've heard of the Miracle Whip. Some people use olive oil. Some people swear by, you know, margarine products, but I'm a purist when it comes to that. I believe butter makes the best grilled cheese.
Can you put peanut butter on a grilled cheese sandwich?
If it tastes good, yes.
The best grilled cheese I've ever had.
No kidding.
Really? So you guys are loving it?
I mean, they put cheese on the pan, then they put the bread on the cheese, and then there's cheese inside the bread.
So there's cheese on the outside and on the inside.
Yeah, different kinds of cheeses. I've never seen anyone do it this way. It's so good.
Yeah, this is spectacular.
Well, the thing that we always – one of the best parts about any sort of cooking of cheese is the little bits that sort of get – stay outside of the sandwich, get actually burned and crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we figured one of the best ways to sort of take it to the next level with the missionary position, and this has been a successful technique for us every year that we've competed, is to actually encrust the sandwich with another kind of cheese.
How much time during the year do you guys sit around and work on
perfecting the grilled cheese. Believe it or not, our Hot Knives blog, we actually cater vegan events.
Did you say Hot Knives blog?
Yeah, we're a blog. We're you a food have a blog. Blog. We're a part-time catering company, and we tend to do vegan events. And then we smack the vegans in the face with a grilled cheese trophy once a year.
Wow.
We usually spend a week planning for the tournament. So
a week
let me give out the
information for people who want to join you down there tomorrow. The Los Angeles Grilled Cheese Invitational is going to be at the Los Angeles State Historical Park, 1245 North Spring Street, downtown LA. Just $5 at the door to get in. You heard hundreds of grilled cheese sandwiches are going to be there. The website is grilledcheeseinvitational.com. I have never been so sad to not be in Southern California this weekend.
You love it.
Sounds like the best event ever.
Oh.
Is there an a-hole grilled cheese competitor that everyone hates but shows up and does quite well? Is there the Darth Vader of grilled cheese invitations?
It's anybody who brings 9 Tupperwares of what they thought was a good sandwich when they were stoned the week before.
Yeah.
And they just start piling it on and it's a sloppy mess.
And you know they're not a professional.
No. Mm-hmm.
Is weed the enemy of the good grilled cheese because you'll pretty much accept anything? Because you're hungry?
Yeah, I think your standards are lowered.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
you need a clear head, really, to enjoy the grilled cheese.
We abstained for a week before for exactly that reason.
That's great news.
Tim Walker and the Hot Knives, thanks for coming in. Good luck this weekend, you guys.
Hey,
we appreciate it.
Thank you. I got haikus for you there.
Oh, I forgot about haikus. This was the selling point. We said we're going to have somebody from the Grilled Cheese Invitational, and everybody made fun of us. And Bean goes, they do grilled cheese haiku. So I apologize. Let's have a little grilled cheese haiku.
Okay, I'll give you a good one here. This one is, butter my bread, bitch. You got nothing on me now. I covet your cheese.
Ladies and gentlemen. All right.
And then this one was written up special just for you guys.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Kevin and Bean rule. They love both Gouda and you. I have pickles in my pants.
That's what I'm talking about.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
And for more hot cheese haiku, can they go to your website?
Yeah, they can go. Well, actually, no. The haiku happens only at the event.
It's a live thing.
Okay. There's going to be a haiku competition, exhibition grilling.
Don't try to cheap it, Kevin.
And it's going to be crazy. Also, Kraft Singles is going to be there. They're going to be handing out thousands of grilled cheese sandwiches to people. It's going to be a great time.
How do you rule on Kraft Cheese Singles?
They make a good grilled cheese.
Yeah,
yeah.
As a sponsor, I guess.
But it actually does. I mean, it's kind of the spark where this started for pretty much everybody when they were a kid. You know?
I hear you.
For that, you have to be stoned.
Yeah. Are you guys going to also move this out into the whole world of macaroni and cheese?
Actually, a good friend of mine who's won 2 trophies here in L.A. and then moved back to Pittsburgh has started the Mac and Cheese Invitational, and she's on her second annual right now.
We would like you to come back through when it comes to Los Angeles.
Will do.
That's my other favorite food.
Yes.
All right. Nice job, guys. GrilledCheeseInvitational.com. Again, it is tomorrow at Los Angeles State Historical Park.
So I'll be there.
Thank you, Lisa. 6:53 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
It happens tomorrow. Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag enter into wedded bliss together.
Oh, they're such a lovely couple.
Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California. I'm not saying that because I think you should drive by tomorrow and honk your horn while they're trying to have a ceremony. I'm just saying that because it's in the story.
Sure, of course.
I would not recommend you drive around that church in Pasadena and, you know, throw water balloons or anything. I would say that.
Or if you have a helicopter, buzz it, right?
That would be wrong.
Right, of course.
Why would you schedule your wedding during the Super Bowl or during the Los Angeles Grilled Cheese Invitational? This doesn't make any sense to make people choose.
Good point, Bean.
Yeah. Next week, I hope we talk about someone from the Pimento Festival.
Hey, don't make us.
Janet Jackson has a deep, dark secret regarding her weight, according to insiders. You ever notice how she's able to pack on huge amounts of weight and then drop it? In,
yes,
like,
and look
four
great.
Days later?
Faster than anyone.
Yep. Diet? No. Mm-hmm. Exercise? Pshaw. HGH, my friends. Human growth hormone.
Really?
That helps you lose weight?
Yeah, apparently if you take it in high doses, it helps you burn the fat right off.
That doesn't sound safe.
Friends say she's been doing it enormous amounts for the past couple years on and off, and they are concerned about the long-term side effects of such usage, which are still unknown.
Eating steroids? They make your balls shrink?
Well, these aren't steroids per se.
HGH is a big deal in Hollywood. A lot of people, I think, you'd be surprised to find out how many people do.
This is the stuff Stallone got busted with in Australia. Remember, he had like a suitcase with vials and vials of this stuff.
Well, how dangerous is it, Mike?
In dosages that a doctor would recommend, it's not very unsafe at all. Mm-hmm. But to get really good effects like Janet Jackson would be getting, you have to take a lot, and it's super expensive and super dangerous.
Would it make her balls smaller?
No, but it will make her joints bigger. Mm. And if you've ever seen, like, you know, I'm not saying Stallone in particular, but guys who have big jaws and big blocky elbows and stuff like that, you know, they get a kind of distorted looking Cro-Magnon face. That's what that's from.
Wow. That doesn't sound good.
All right. There's your HGH update. It is the 25th anniversary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Woo-hoo.
To celebrate this weekend in New York City, they're kicking off the Shellebration.
Oh, God, you did not do that.
Wordplay! They're going to screen the very first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film at the Tribeca Film Festival to celebrate. The Empire State Building will be lit in turtle green in honor of the Ninja Turtles.
Quite an accomplishment.
Wow.
And there will be another live-action film just been announced in 2011. We get to see more of the NMNTs. So, good times. Good times.
I'm with that chick.
Barry Manilow.
Yes.
Says that he has donated the huge gay ruffled jacket he wore in the Copacabana video to the Smithsonian Institute.
All right.
The Smithsonian Institute sent it back.
You're kidding.
No way.
Saying,
no,
thank they you did. So much for your contribution, but we really have no use for this in our exhibit at this time.
Well, wait, they didn't ask him for it? He just decided to send it on his own?
Yes.
Really?
Story in the New York Post today.
That's the best story I've ever heard.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Why would he do that?
Because he's stupid?
Barry Manilow, what a joke.
So stupid.
And boring as hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
You couldn't pay me to go to that thing. Just look at all the idiots.
All the dumbass Manilow fans.
Yep.
That's...
Thanks, Barry.
Awesome. That hurts.
That one hurts. No, don't really need your Copacabana jacket. We're focusing on more artists with talent.
Things that matter.
Yeah. And Dave Duchovny and Tia Leone apparently have rekindled their marriage and patched things up, which is nice to hear.
I'm very glad to hear that.
The couple each got tattoos on their ring fingers to celebrate the renewal of their relationship, and they're currently on vacation in the Caribbean.
No, now they're going to break up for sure.
Oh, that curses it?
Yes.
Tia says one of the secrets to keeping their marriage hot is that she loves to paint Dave's rear end and then have him sit on a canvas to create a beautiful masterpiece.
Listen, mate.
Hey, it's Gene Simmons.
Yes,
what's up,
Gene? Right.
I'd like to paint your rear end with
something. No! No!
It's a lot of paint.
All right.
All right.
Oh, wait.
You
get it.
Do you mean painting the way some people mean painting? Celebrity birthdays. Tyson Ritter, the All-American Reject, celebrates his 25th birthday today. Kelly Clarkson is 27. Eric Balfour from 24, and from 6 Feet Under, he is 32 years old. Melinda Clark from The O.C.
Yeah!
Turns 40 years old. Jamin Hunsu from Blood Diamond.
Amistad in America, 45 years old today. Cedric the Entertainer, also 45. Barbara Streisand, icon, actress, singer, director, all around big-nosed.
Kevin, she got a concert special on CBS tomorrow night. You want to alert your wife.
Kevin!
Not a fan.
But you've seen her 400 times.
Haven't. Gone a couple times with my wife, but...
400 times.
Not a fan.
You told me the last time was 400th time. You're suffering
it
your...
felt like that.
Your quad centennial, you said.
It felt like 400 times, man.
Will you acknowledge at least, and I know Kevin hates oftentimes for no reason, but will you acknowledge at least that she's a good singer?
Yeah, I guess. It's just not my kind of music.
I actually went to see her in concert once, and I was blown away at how talented she
is. Yeah, she's amazing.
Once again, I don't think I would buy one of her CDs to listen to.
What percentage of the audience...
But her voice is remarkable.
Yeah.
What percentage of the audience, Ralph, would you say that were guys, were gay?
All. Yes. I had a little gay sex myself that night. I couldn't help myself.
You just have to.
You just have to when you're watching Babs. You can't really help yourself. Shirley MacLaine, 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour from right now, our Friday feature, The Week in Rage, with our friend Adam Carolla. Also, how about Cindy Margolis coming in next hour, too, by the way?
Yeah.
I can't believe you can date her on a TV show.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
And that's Friday. Real love when you date someone on a TV show.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Also, it's Friday. That means Ralph has the movie beat. This is going to be a very difficult conversation for Ralph to have because there's a particular team he's not allowed to mention.
Oh, true.
Not allowed to mention. I just pay $20 every time I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
So maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, it's just money,
worth
man.
It.
You
know?
Tomorrow is one of football fans' greatest days of the year because it is the beginning of the 2009 NFL Draft. And, of course, who knows more about that than the man himself, Rich Eisen, lead anchor for the NFL Network, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Rich.
How are you guys doing? It's been too long.
We are good. Yes, it has.
Yes, we missed you.
What's the school? What's the school that can't? What is it? A school that can't be mentioned, or is,
well, here's the thing, Rich. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Okay,
ding,
and,
ding, $20.
That's it.
And during the playoffs, we had a listener who was a huge Arizona Cardinals fan.
Right,
and so we had a bet that if the Eagles lost, that I would have to not speak about that team for an entire year.
Oh, so that's $40. What you
so
far.
Right there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this could be a very expensive conversation for us to have for me, that's all.
I'm glad I'm not under the same rule.
Yeah.
That would be really costly. That would be part of my weekly salary.
Yeah, if they docked you every time you said a particular team, you would be screwed.
Well, at least that particular team already made a big move and made a trade last week. And they,
Jason Peters.
That team had two first-round picks, which would have really opened the opportunity to mention their name a lot.
You can say it, Rich. You can say it. I just can't say it.
Okay, the Eagles had... You know what you should do is you should just, if you want to mention them, just pause, and when you're about to mention, I'll say the name for you.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll save you the bucks.
I'll save you the $20.
I appreciate it.
Now, Rich, this is... you have a five-hour pre... show.
Yeah, we do.
A 5 hour.
Not long enough, in my opinion.
Now, I'm a big football fan. I love football, but I don't watch the draft. But I know guys like Ralph and like Money, our former sports guy, they will watch every precious second of
love
it.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, we're junkies on NFL Network, and this is a big day. I mean, this is, I guess, technically the off-season Super Bowl, and so we treat it as such. And we're having a five-hour before the commissioner even says a word at the podium. We're on the air for 5 hours.
That doesn't seem a little excessive to you?
Oh, no.
All right.
But, Rich, you know, we were saying off the air before we talked to you that unlike most sports, in this particular sport of football, the draft really can change destinies of teams by who they choose.
Yeah, not for the better either sometimes.
That's true. That's true.
That's why the Lions are really hemming and hawing right now over what they should do. Everybody thinks that they're going to sign Matthew Stafford, the quarterback from Georgia, before the draft even begins. It may happen sometime today. And then, you know, they're going to cross their fingers and hope that he's the guy. And, you know, over the last 15-some-odd years, we looked at it, and anyone who's an underclassman and is a quarterback drafted in the first round, it is not good. The odds are just not good for you to succeed. I mean, Drew Bledsoe was good.
Yeah.
And then there's very few other ones that have panned out. Michael Vick is one of them. I mean, you can decide whether he's panned out or not, or panning for gold or whatever he's doing now.
But what is it like for these college players that are really good in college and they're looking forward to playing in the pros and then they realize they're going to get drafted by the Detroit Lions? I mean, is it possible for them to say thanks but no thanks?
It is, but then Matthew Stafford's going to be told by his agent he gets $40 million guaranteed dollars, which would make him the highest paid quarterback in the history of the NFL. Which
done.
Is another reason what's wrong with this sort of process that the NFL has found itself in with this draft.
It is almost punitive to the teams when they take these players that they get so beaten up money-wise.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it is the only business in America where the business takes the top student off of campus and makes him or her the highest paid person in the history of their firm. Hmm. You know, no business does that in America, but
that's
the
weird.
NFL does. And
how did it get to be that way? Because in the NBA, don't they have, like, limits to what you can
do? And until one year, many years ago, a player named Glenn Robinson came out of Purdue and made $60 million guaranteed dollars, and players like Charles Barkley just started freaking out. And then the Players Association realized that it had gotten out of hand. And, you know, the NFL is going to talk about it with the union when they talk about a contract the next time around. But it just keeps going up and up. Peyton Manning was the first quarterback to go across $10 million guaranteed. And then his brother Eli was 20. And Jamarcus Russell passed the $30 million threshold just a couple of years ago, and now they're going to try and...
And look how Jamarcus is doing.
That just shows you, you know, how... And again, you can't just, I guess, chalk him up to being a bust yet. But right now, the Raiders really haven't gotten much for their investment so far.
Yeah.
Rich, let me ask you a couple of specific things about this year. The Patriots have 11 draft picks this weekend.
Yeah,
how is that possible?
Because they always do.
Is it because they trade around to get them? I mean, is that what they do?
Yeah, I mean, they just traded their quarterback Matt Castle a couple weeks ago, former USC kid who never played at USC, by the way.
Yeah,
and he had an incredible year filling in for Tom Brady in his walk year of his contracts. It worked out for him, and they just couldn't afford to keep him, so they got a second round pick for him. And they always seem in the first round of a draft to have more than one pick. And they usually trade that one and get another one for the following year, and they just keep stockpiling that sort of stuff.
Are they one of the best teams at kind of gaming the system a little
100%.
Bit and making the most out of the draft?
100%. They're the best, actually.
Is Mark Sanchez, the USC quarterback, considered to go in the top three or four?
He may just be. The rumor is that once Stafford goes off the board officially at one, then the Rams will be open for business. Their phone will ring off the hook with a lot of people that are concerned that the Seahawks are going to get Sanchez.
Yeah.
But I think really the team that's going to get those calls are the Chiefs, who are run by the old Patriots general manager, who knows exactly how to game the system, and I think he's going to try and get out of the third spot because, again, nobody wants to pay these kids that much money because they've never done it before, and it's a real crapshoot. And in this economy, the last thing you want to do is pay a 21-year-old $25 million guaranteed.
So a lot of the teams are fighting to get away from the top picks.
100%.
Well, wow. Rich, this year, a lot of the there's not a lot of skill players in the top 10 picks either. A lot of linemen and that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you that this is a good story that we heard this year on our air on NFL Network. The old Texans general manager, a guy named Charlie Casserly, he's been with our program last few weeks during the, you know, leading up to the draft. He had the number one overall pick a few years ago, and it was his decision whether to go with Vince Young, who, you know, a lot of USC fans know from the Rose Bowl a few years ago, and he had just torched USC in a way that nobody really seen them beaten. Reggie Bush was in that draft, and of course everybody knows how great he is. And Mario Williams is the chosen player that they took with the first overall pick in that draft. And in many ways it's worked out better than anyone would imagine, but because it was such an unpopular move, Charlie in a way is sitting on our set because of it, as opposed to still with the Texans. But he told a story about how he tried desperately to trade that number one overall pick, and he called the Jets because he knew the Jets coveted Reggie Bush, and they were picking fourth. And he asked the Jets general manager, you know, if he wanted the first overall pick, and the Jets GM responded, "How much will you give me to take that pick from you?"
Wow.
And that's just the way things are going in the draft these days.
Wow, that's odd.
Oh, yeah? No one wants to pay the money. Unless
this
they really believe this player is that good. And I don't think anybody believes there's anyone in the draft like that.
Right.
Rich Eisen is on the line, by the way, lead anchor for the NFL Network, who we miss desperately in the offseason. And it's great to have you on again. The NFL draft begins on your channel what time tomorrow?
Oh, gosh. 8 a.m. your time. 8 a.m.
Okay.
And then they won't even utter a draft pick until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but we'll keep the light on for you until that happens.
5 hours of pre-show.
Everybody guessing.
And you've got quite the team this year, don't you? Have Marshall Faulk up there with you, Deion Sanders, a bunch of guys, right?
Yeah, John Gruden, the old Bucks coach and Raiders coach, is joining us, and Steve Mariucci is with us, and Brian Billick, the old Ravens coach, just part of a cast of thousands. And then when the last pick is made I think 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, I will stand and sing "You'll Never Walk Alone."
Oh, I would pay anything to hear that.
Yes. And help the kids out of their wheelchairs. All right, last question for you.
I will sign off until next year. Sure.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the last question for you, Rich. What's the first thing that can be reasonably called a professional football game that you're going to be able to talk about or air on the NFL Network? What's the date of that? Is it sometime in August or
August
what?
August 9th. Is the
August 9th, okay.
Game. It's the first preseason game of the year. And
can you hang on till then, Ralph?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I can. I think I can, yeah.
You know what? If you can't, call me up. We'll do therapy together because I'm in the same boat with you.
Yeah.
All right, Rich Eyes at NFL Network. Be sure to check out the draft all week long. Great to talk to you, Rich. Thanks for coming
on. Same here.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz.
Yes, let's do that.
Show movie. Showbiz movie.
How about
movie.
The movie beat?
Friday movies beat.
Go now, you.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
I'd like to take that again if I could later. I don't think that went well.
Let's not do that later.
Okay.
Let's just chalk it up.
Move on?
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Let's just say sometimes things don't work out.
It's Friday morning.
It's not you, it's me.
Okay, good.
All right.
I like that.
Let's take a look at the movies opening up this weekend in Southland Cineplex's Earth is being brought to you by the Walt Disney Studios. I can't wait to see this movie because I really loved the documentary Planet Earth.
Me too.
That was on the BBC. So I can't. Wait a minute. This is the documentary Planet Earth from the BBC?
What it is?
Disney took the documentary and whittled it down and edited it together and slapped a new narration on it from Patrick Stewart instead of James Earl Jones.
Really?
And boom, you got your movie Earth. Please enjoy. Hi, how are you?
Black man can't voice the movie? Is that what's going on
that
here?
That was way impressive. That was super cool to watch on that Planet Earth.
It was incredible.
So this is going to be good, but I've seen it all?
Yeah. If you've seen everything in the series, you've seen Earth as well.
How about that? And they took out the scary stuff. Like, there's not as much of the polar bears drowning and stuff like that because it's for kids.
It's families. It's migration paths of four animal families. How they get through the year, basically. It's good. It's good for kids to see this stuff.
Sure, I agree.
But I won't go because I've seen it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But if you haven't seen it, it's well worth going.
Absolutely. Especially, and they're doing it in IMAX and stuff. So
cool.
I'm sure it's very impressive. So you got that going for you. Also opening up this weekend, The Informers. This comes to us from the talented mind of Bret Easton Ellis.
Woo!
The guy who writes books about how bad things were in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of drugs.
Less than zero.
A lot of drugs and dysfunction in the 80s. This movie is set in 80s here in Los Angeles. You got a Hollywood producer, a rock star, an aging newscaster. These are the characters that populate The Informers. Billy Bob Thornton, Kim Basinger, and Mickey Rourke all star in the film. Here is a scene from The Informers.
I need something, Mark. You need some f***ing loons.
I need something more than this.
Graham, what else is there? You already have everything.
I need someone to tell me what is good. Okay, and I need someone to tell me what's bad. Because if nobody tells you these things, Martin, then how do you know what's good and what's bad? What happens then when nobody tells you these things?
See? Wow. Sex and drugs and the life of hedonism doesn't make anyone happy, my friends.
Anyone? It doesn't make anyone
well,
happy?
Well, it made me happy for a long time.
Don't forget Amber Heard is in this movie, too.
Amber Heard is also
in
this movie.
Her. She's beautiful.
Apparently, she gets well naked in it.
Well naked.
So there's something to look forward to in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing about Bret Easton Ellis, his novels and the movies that spawned them. They're usually sort of self-indulgent crap fests.
Are they?
And I get a sense that this has the same kind of vibe to it.
Like, oh, we're so rich and beautiful, but we take a lot of drugs and sex, and we're still not happy. Boo! Shut up.
Now, Mike, are you going to stand by and let him defame the man who wrote American Psycho?
Well, no, clearly the outlier there is American Psycho, which is a genius piece of work.
Okay.
Well, the book actually wasn't very good.
No, it was a better movie than it was a book. But I'm just saying, we've seen a lot of recycled themes here from Mr. Ellis, and this looks like yet another. This weekend, the documentary Tyson is in theaters. James Toback, who's known primarily as a writer, comes back strong with this documentary about his friend Mike Tyson. Reaches back to 1987 when their friendship started, and he gives Mike a chance basically to talk into the camera and talk about what happened to Mike Tyson, legendary heavyweight boxing champion of the world. I got a chance to see this movie, and it is fantastic. I know documentaries may not particularly be your thing, but if you're a fan of boxing, or you're a fan, or you're just interested to know what it's like to be one of the biggest, richest sports stars in the world, and then to lose it all, and all the circumstances that surrounded Tyson's life, I think you will find this very interesting.
It's a fascinating movie.
I recommend it highly.
Ralph, I don't know if we ever told you this, but in the very early 90s, Kevin and I went to some event. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. And Mike Tyson was at the party. And everybody was obsessed with the fact that Mike Tyson was there. He was easily the biggest star in the world. And at one point, he was sitting at a table. Do you remember this, Kevin? With Whitney Houston on his lap.
Yep.
And they were singing and laughing.
And a line of girls waiting to take that place on his lap.
Yeah. When Whitney Houston got up off his lap, there was somebody ready to sit down on it. He was royalty.
It's because a lot of women don't get satisfaction from their men. And so they have to come to sit with me. And then I make them more happier by having them sitting on me.
He wasn't a guy who handled fame or money particularly well.
Here's the thing. You realize when you watch this movie, this guy was... how do you say this?
He was damaged goods, wasn't he?
Even as a kid, he was sort of borderline developmentally disabled, sort of a mentally challenged young man who was brutalized and picked on and got sort of sucked into a life of crime and then went into a juvenile detention facility where he was brutalized and picked on. And it's like if you gave someone with a limited mental capacity a superpower, if you gave him the power of Superman all of a sudden... And he was really angry at how he had been treated as a young man, and he didn't have a stable family life. Naturally, you can see he would lash out in all kinds of bizarre ways, and you wouldn't expect a happy ending.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what we got with Mike Tyson. But I'm telling you, it's a fascinating film. Definitely check it out if you get a chance. Obsessed opens this weekend as well. Beyoncé Knowles, Ali Larder star in this film. This looks odd to me. It should be on Lifetime, and yet it's in my theaters, and yet Beyoncé Knowles is a big star, and she's starring in it.
Yeah.
And this guy, Idris Elba, who is on The Office now, who plays the black dude that's taken over The Office since Michael Scott left, he's the lead in it. He's married to Beyoncé, and Ali Larder's his assistant. She becomes obsessed with him in a Fatal Attraction kind of way. And I guess, all right, okay.
She's hot.
She's hot.
They're both hot.
They all seem all attractive, and it seems like an interesting enough plot.
There's a girl fight. What else do you need?
We've seen it before, but I think I could see it again, I guess.
Could be good.
Could be.
He was in The Wire. He was String, if you watch The Wire series. He's
great. Yes. Anyway, here in this scene, Beyoncé finds Ali Larder in her home as she's pursuing her man, and Beyoncé opens up a can of whoop-ass.
Did you not get my message?
I'm so sorry. We didn't want you to find out this way. I knew it would come to this. I know how hard it must be to have someone fall out of love with you. Wait, it doesn't...
Don't touch me.
We can talk.
I told you, don't touch me!
I'm in.
Beyoncé wants this monkey-fighting woman out of her Monday to Friday house.
Exactly.
She wants... Soloist opens this weekend. Jamie Foxx, Robert Downey Jr., Catherine Keener. Robert Downey Jr. played in a real story about Los Angeles reporter Steve Lopez, who befriends Nathan Ayers, a brilliant but troubled musician, a one-time Juilliard student who now lives on Skid Row, played by Jamie Foxx. And I just hope Jamie gets to really stretch his wings and act over the top, because you rarely get to see him do that. What?
He looks really good in this. I haven't seen it, but I've seen the previews.
Have you seen the previews, though? He's really working it. He is chewing up scenery and working around a lot of concrete, which is hard to do.
because he's under a lot of overpasses and stuff in this movie, but he's still chews it up. That's how hard he's chewing.
I heard a review this morning that said, it's such a great story. The true story is so good. It didn't need to be blown up the way that they do it and made so dramatic.
Man, thank you for getting me the new violin. I only had two strings. Now I got four strings. Okay. All right, Jamie. We know. You're mentally ill. Okay. You, my friend, I push a shopping cart, my grandmama.
I thought it looked better than that, but I like your version as
Jamie,
well.
Jamie really sort of pushes a little hard.
Here's a scene where Robert Downey Jr. is trying to get information out of the mentally ill musical genius Nathaniel, played by Jamie Foxx.
I called Juilliard and they said, you went there, but you didn't finish.
I bombed right out of there. I bombed out of Juilliard.
Yeah, what happened?
It didn't happen. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Anyone I could contact? Family?
Family? Oh, Miss Floria is my mom. She's a beautician. Beauty is art. Music is beauty. I don't do hair. I do my own hair, but my mom does. Everybody's hair in the community, they will come for her. She's quite a woman, you know. But I don't know how you're going to talk to her, though, because she passed.
Okay.
Guy's got an Oscar. What do I know?
Yep. And Robert Downey Jr. is a great actor, too.
He is.
Fighting opens this weekend. Channing Tatum. Oh, the girls think he's dreamy. Should have seen the girls in our office this week when he came in to visit with the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not just the girls, cowboy.
Stop it. He stars along with Terrence Howard in a story about underground bare-knuckle boxing. Doesn't really get much better than bare-knuckle boxing, by the way.
It's like the story of my life.
I know. You were a bare-knuckle fighter in the... used to do in the abandoned subway tunnels of New York City,
that's
right?
Correct,
isn't that where you fought?
YouTube Kevin versus Kimbo. It's
insane. It's crazy. Knocks that guy's eye out. Terrence Howard plays the con man who becomes his manager in this seedy underground world. Have you ever saw a 70s film that was actually based in the Depression-era 30s called Hard Times with Charles Bronson? This is very similar to that, and it's a great, great story. Channing Tatum... He's a likable enough actor, I think, and Terrence Howard is always good. Here's a scene where Channing is talking to Terrence Howard, telling him that he won't throw a fight just to make some money.
What do you think? There's a trophy involved in all of this? Nobody cares about it. And if we lose, you know we get nothing. You get that, right?
You think I don't understand that I'm nothing? I get it. I ain't worth nothing.
Nobody said anything like that. I mean, come on.
All I'm saying is I don't want to lose. That's all I'm saying is I don't want to lose.
I'm telling you, Sean.
Look, I know it sounds stupid to you. But I don't want it. I don't want to do it, so I won't.
Okay. I bet they pressure him to lose, throw the fight, and make the money on the big bet. It's all set. You're going to throw the fight.
Wrong man. Had that up. I don't know
you're
what he's doing.
Turn into a bloodbath.
Had that clip up ready
I'm
to go.
I'm just saying. That's
right
what happens.
You sure did.
That's what happens
bad.
When you start.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team.
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
If we're playing it straight, it's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
Yeah, that's what Terrence Howard is going to say to him if he doesn't throw the fight. What are you talking about? Can't beat that Philly accent.
Nope.
Yeah. My pick for this weekend is Tyson. I know it's odd for me to pick a documentary as my movie of the week to check out, but I'm telling you, it's just that good. So if you get a chance to see Tyson, which is in limited release in theaters around Southern California this weekend, definitely should check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
I'm just saying that I think I speak for the whole room that we were all very, very disappointed in the poor judgment Psycho Mike showed in the voice bit the other day.
Yeah,
don't you guys agree
was.
With me?
Yes, absolutely.
I was furious.
We were talking about Oscar De La Hoya retiring, and Psycho Mike, who does a very funny Oscar De La Hoya impression on our show from time to time, really stepped out of the bounds of good taste and started making fun of Freddie Roach's Parkinson's, which I just think is unacceptable.
Guys, I just want to apologize, okay? Because we did have the meeting, and both... You and Bean, Kevin, and Ralph sat me down. And you said, just don't mention it,
right.
Whatever you do.
Right, because
that's what
there.
Happens here. We and, say, be more
that's
sensitive,
err on
please.
The side of tasteful whenever
yes.
possible.
That's what,
that's what we're
about.
When it comes to people in the public
anybody.
Eye, there's no need to be tasteless,
mm-hmm.
to
right.
be tacky. Just,
we don't make fun of celebrities on this show, Mike. No. That's what we said to you.
And
remember?
And I don't take cheap shots.
But Mike plays by his own rules.
I did. And I said,
well, he's a cheap shot artist. He's been known that way his whole life.
And I said, you know what? I'm a maverick. Screw them. I'm going to take control of the airwaves.
And you know, I don't say a lot of bad things about people, but the one thing about Mike is he's an asshole.
All right. Now, we got a call, an email from Natasha. Mm-hmm. Natasha says, I am writing to you in regards to the Kevin and Bean program that aired on April 16, 2009, particularly the Oscar De La Hoya versus Freddie Roach segment.
Yeah.
The comedian, in quotes, who was hired
when you're talking about Mike, comedian is very much in quotes, by the way.
Who was hired to portray Oscar really targeted Freddie Roach's Parkinson's disease as a main point of assault, and it seemed very out of line. It did to us as well.
Sure.
Completely offended.
So we have Natasha on the phone. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning.
Good morning, Natasha.
So the email suggests that you know Mr. Roach and that somehow he was also offended by Psycho Mike's way out of line comedy?
Well, yeah, I'm very good friends with Freddie, and he didn't listen to the program because, you know, he's busy. He's training Manny Pacquiao for a big fight right now.
Right.
He heard about it, and he, quite frankly, was a little shocked that grown adults would make fun of Parkinson's disease.
Did he hear
easy with the grown adults thing, first
of
all.
I know. That's in quotes as well.
Yes. Let me ask you a question, though, Natasha. Mm-hmm. Did he find out about it from you?
No, not from me, actually.
Well, then, who's got the big mouth down there, Wild Card Jim's, talking?
Well, we have a million people who fight there, so...
Right, but he's too busy to listen,
Let's not talk to him about this kind of stuff.
Who's running to him going, hey, Freddie, they're making... Who does that?
Oh, they have his back, so of course they're going
to
No, call.
They're not his friend.
Listen, it's your problem. You guys are the ones who targeted a boxing coach with a bunch of boxers who adore him, so
Mike.
This is your pickle.
Yeah, Mike.
What do you have to say, Mike? Oscar
Kevin
De La Hoya.
Dean, I might have missed the part where you guys jumped to his defense.
Yes, you did.
You did miss that part.
You did. We were very upset.
Natasha, did you hear the segment?
Yes, I did.
Shoot.
in its entirety.
Damn it.
2 minute and 18 second entirety.
Oh, really? You timed it, but you didn't tell him about it.
How's my Freddie?
Freddie's good. He's actually in Puerto Rico right now.
Wait a minute. No. What makes him your Freddie?
Not my Freddie impression.
I think Ralph meant his impression.
How's my Freddie impression? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, he's in Puerto Rico right now. He's training Jerry Penalosa for an upcoming fight with Juan Manuel Lopez, which is really tough. It's going to be tomorrow.
How's Pacquiao feel about that?
Oh, Pacquiao's good. His training camp is going so well. He's actually at the part right now where he's going to wind down a little bit, so it's all good.
Okay. We've been watching the 24/7, which is fascinating, behind-the-scenes look. Is Michael Moore the guy that's training him then, or who's doing that now?
Yeah, no, Michael Moore is definitely helping him out. And by the way, you probably wouldn't survive a stare-down with that man.
But, yeah, well, no kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Former heavyweight monster.
Did you have to mention that, really?
I'm Natasha. Just saying, if you guys decided to be tough and come down to the gym and prove your toughness, if you're going to make fun of Parkinson's disease, I don't know if you'd get past the door because Michael's pretty much sitting right there.
Hold on, they don't equate, you know? You don't have to be tough to make fun of Parkinson's.
You have to be a jackass.
Right,
that's my
exactly.
Point. That's my point.
No, you do, but you don't have to be tough. You just have to be a jackass.
Well, if you want to be tough, you want to put your money where
again,
your mouth.
No, again, let's tough. Repeat. No one claims that they wanted to be tough.
Right.
It says, so the Parkinson's hasn't affected his sense of humor at all, so we are officially challenging either Kevin or Bean to come to his gym and go a couple of rounds with him in the ring.
Well, that sounds like he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, I'll take Psycho Mike. I've got to be honest. I like my chances against Psycho
you
Mike.
You against Psycho Mike would be worth every second. I would love to see you kick his ass.
Hey, Natasha, what's your deal? Do you work at the place, or do you just train there, or what?
No, I love boxing. It's my religion, and I work out there at the Wild Card. 3 days a week.
Would Freddie be surprised to know that you are representing yourself as a good friend of his?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know about you guys. We haven't discussed this off the air, but I think somehow Psycho Mike needs to pay for his poor judgment.
I agree.
And I don't care whether Freddie Roach beats him down or Natasha beats him down or who beats him down, but somebody needs to beat him down.
Michael Moore. Michael Moore should go a couple rounds with
There should be one round
Psycho
with
Mike.
Each. You know?
I don't know. I don't think Kevin or Bean, either of you, are off the hook either. I mean...
Well, Bean did laugh excessively at the comedy, and I said at the time, Bean, don't laugh about that. That's not funny.
You know, to be honest, Natasha,
yeah,
they were the ones who were against me even mentioning the Parkinson's. It was, it was Lisa May who was really encouraging me to do it, and I think that it's a female battle.
Well, and I can do that because my grandfather had Parkinson's, and if it's touched your own life and you're able to laugh at it, I think that's a good thing.
So you should fight
Nicely
Lisa.
Done.
All I know is I was the one doing the Freddie Roach impression, so I was really on his side the most, I think. So I am the most
true.
Off the
that
hook on
true.
This. I was the one. Actually, I feel insulted. I feel like he was attacking me.
Natasha, let me tell you
because
what's
I'm a method actor.
Let me tell you what's going on behind the scenes. What's going on behind the scenes is we all worship him. Mm-hmm. No, this is not a joke. And we're trying to figure out a way to work this into an invitation to come down to the gym and be all buddy-buddy, but we haven't figured out a way to get past the fact that Mike was making fun of him yet.
Right.
So Ralph's well, like,
true. Oh, we are huge fans of Freddy's. We are. We're big fans. And it was out of line, and we would like to see Freddy beat up Psycho Mike. That'd be great.
Okay.
Or us. Whoever Freddy wants to beat up, sure. It's worth coming down there
whatever.
And getting beat up. You
why
know?
Why don't you all come down, and we'll just choose randomly on the day.
Just you. You're
just
going down.
You can take a dive.
I will take Psycho Mike, though, honestly, with your swarthy good looks and godlike physique. It landed you a job in radio.
Yeah.
So I really do like my chance.
Oh, that would be awesome. Let's do that.
I'm not
that
in your weight great. Class. I'm not heavy enough.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
Wow,
you
now
see?
You're being an ass.
See
what happens?
See, I don't say a lot of bad things about a lot of people, but Psycho Mike is an asshole.
He's an asshole, yeah.
All right, Natasha, we will definitely continue this conversation off the air. But look, here's the thing. People get mad at us all the time. We appreciate very much listeners that take the time to sit down to write a well-thought-out, reasonable letter about the topic rather than just, you guys suck or I'm never going to listen. It's better to have a dialogue like this about what's really going on than just to have people walk away mad. So I'm really glad you contacted us, okay?
No, well, I appreciate you putting Parkinson's disease in the minds of people. I mean, I don't really appreciate the way that you guys did it.
Mike.
It is a serious disease. It's a degenerative neurological disease. It just gets worse with time, and it's not easy to live with. So
no, we're not pro Parkinson's. Don't get us wrong.
No,
we may be tasteless, you know, and classless, but we understand it's a horrible disease, and we would like to see it.
As long as we can still make fun of Dick Clark, that's all we ask. Moving forward,
no, Dick Clark is fine. But honestly, okay. I do want to mention if you guys do decide to come down to the gym. Freddie has a supplement right now for weight loss and for training that a lot of the pro athletes use. It's called Fighting Fit.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on the website www.fightingfit.com. And actually, because he is such a good sport, he's going to offer your listeners a free bottle.
Okay, let me ask again, if you don't mind. Does he know about any of this?
Yes, he does.
Because you sound effing shaky.
It's got to be shaky because we're talking about parts, right, Kevin? That's how you're rolling now? Come on.
And you're still
stop it.
Doing
no,
it.
I didn't.
So
that was
kicking your ass when you come to the
gym. Natasha.
Hey, what are you doing giving away all my all free stuff and my fighting fit? What are you doing giving that all away?
Well, no, just have them enter KB in the promotional KB. Code area, and
okay.
They'll get a free bottle.
Can we get a condo in Vegas, too, while we're at it?
No, but I will personally bring down a case for Psycho Mike.
That's
sure
what we're talking about.
Caught up with him, so.
And fight in the parking lot.
Dude, she has a hard on for you. She's going to kick your ass.
I can't wait. She's going to be so she good. Is.
My money's on Natasha, I'll tell you that.
Me, too.
All right, we have to break. Thank you so much for the email and for coming on with us, Natasha.
Right,
we appreciate
thanks,
it. Say
guys.
Hi to Freddie for us.
Okay.
I gotta say, that whole report was shaky at best.
Oh, it's gotta be shaky.
Here we
right?
go again.
Gotta be shaky.
Damn you, Kevin.
I'm not saying.
Stop it.
I get cooler. You down the gym. You and I are gonna get in the ring, and I'm gonna teach you a thing, Kevin, and you too, Bean. And you should
Adam
all
Carolla.
Go to www.fightingfit.com.
Got that. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that. Joins us after the news at 8, and then Cindy Margolis next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for Friday. What's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to give away some tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Star Trek. I haven't been this excited about a movie in a long time. Of course, I am a big Star Trek fan. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but I am a bit of a Star Trek
I have no idea.
Fan.
Really? That's a surprise.
And J.J. Abrams is reinventing the franchise here, starting from the beginning with Kirk and Spock and the rest of the original characters aboard the Enterprise. And it looks like he's done an amazing job with it. It's going to be at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. On the 30th, of course, the movie hits theaters May 8th. But if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere, here's your trivia question. First five people get through at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to pair of tickets. Of the original Star Trek cast, which member of that cast was missing a finger?
Missing a finger?
The right middle finger on his or her hand was missing for the entire series.
Well, that's a bummer of a finger to
how
miss.
How do you flip someone off?
And they were able to cover it up and never really show it off during the show.
Isn't
that interesting?
Interesting.
Yeah,
no idea.
Which character was missing a finger? 1-800-520-1067. Occasionally, if you know it, once you know it and you watch a Star Trek episode, you'll never watch the same way again because you're constantly trying to spot it.
But, spot the missing finger?
Spot the finger. You know, it was the same way with Gary Berghoff from MASH, Radar on MASH.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was missing two fingers on one of his hands.
He was?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
No
you know,
idea.
Jerry Garcia missing a finger. I think a middle finger on one hand as well.
Well, that would make it hard to play guitar, you'd think.
Yeah, at least
that's
mine.
What.
Hey, Gene
yes.
Simmons, what's up?
Speaking of disappearing fingers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Freddie was right. You are an asshole.
Saturday is the wedding of Heidi and Spencer.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they're getting married in Pasadena. And according to TMZ.com, there is a flyer being sent around the Pasadena neighborhood where the church is, asking residents to sign a petition which will allow Heidi and Spencer to shut down some of the streets and sidewalks in their neighborhood for what they're calling an untitled reality TV project.
Saturday, Saturday, Saturday!
Wow. There's no end to the douchiness.
Here's the best part. They're asking for particular streets to have no parking signs put up, temporary no parking signs. And here's what they claim on the flyer. To discourage paparazzi from parking and hiding out in their cars.
This isn't the inauguration. This is just a couple of people getting married at a church, right?
But whenever have they shied away from paparazzi and publicity of any kind? Now, all of a sudden, they've decided they don't want paparazzi bothering them on their wedding day? I call BS.
Well, maybe those are the MTV people talking, because remember, they filmed the Hills as if Spencer and Heidi and the other people on the show are not celebrities. So they don't want to have to work around those people maybe. When they're shooting it.
And maybe they want exclusive rights to all the video and photographs. But
I hope that's a miserable day for them tomorrow.
I do, too. I hope it rains, and I hope that flaming hailstones and brimstone drops from the sky and pianos and safes.
I wish them the best. I think they're good kids.
Did you say safes?
Yes. When you have a safe just drops through the wall, through the ceiling of the church, lands
Why
on
the coyote?
The piano, a grand piano.
I hope they get Parkinson's.
Oh my God.
You're getting Freddie Roach to beat
so
you up.
Stupid.
You, I don't say a lot of bad things with a lot of people, but you are an asshole.
Want to talk to your winners, Ralphie?
Sure.
Did you call him Ralphie? I did.
Talk to Gary in El Segundo, shall we? Hey, Gary.
How's it going, guys?
Good, buddy. You a Star Trek fan?
Pretty much so, yeah. Which, most of the movies.
Which cast member from the original series was missing a finger?
That would be Scotty. James Doohan.
James Doohan.
Really?
Lost his finger in World War II on the middle finger of his right hand.
No kidding.
You never really saw it on the show. They were able to hide it. Congratulations.
Hold on.
Right. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the world premiere.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Captain, I can only think of 9 reasons why we can't do this. Holding up both hands. Just saying. Jay Leno's in the hospital. Apparently he checked into St. Joe's Medical Center in Burbank, California after canceled the Tonight Show last night. The Tonight Show will not be airing this evening as well. A representative for the show says he's okay, but Daily Variety is reporting that Jay was suffering from some kind of food poisoning, so apparently not feeling well. But get well soon, Jay Leno, I guess. Today's celebrity birthday, Shirley MacLaine, 75 years old today. Barbara Streisand, actress, singer, and director, is 67. Cedric the Entertainer turns 45. Jamin Hunsu.
Hey!
Blood Diamond, Amistad, and Never Back Down. He is 45 years old today. Melinda Clark from The O.C.
Ooh, yeah.
Is 40 years old.
Yeah.
Eric Balfour from 24 and from 6 Feet Under is 32. Kelly Clarkson turns 27 years old today. And Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects also celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Not that I don't love the Ace Man, but is Cindy Margolis here yet? Is she in the other room?
Yes.
She is okay.
Here. She's here.
Let's hurry on through Adam Carolla.
Already squeezed two off to her.
Adam Carolla is here. We do This Week in Rage, which, of course, are the 5 things that bug Adam the most this week. There we go.
It's time for This Week
in Rage. Number 1 or number 5, because we go 5-1.
Okay.
L.A. food.
LA
I went to a nice restaurant the other day, and I was going to order some soup, you know, and they give you the soup du jour.
Right.
And it was like pureed summer squash with lemongrass reduction. And I realized as the guy was telling me what's not in it, there's no dairy, there's no animal protein, there's no trans fats. I thought, we're the only goddamn town that tells you what's not in the soup. Other places tell you what's in the soup.
Right.
They're like, we got chunks of beef floating around, right. Head of cabbage, a couple russet potatoes. We tell you what's not in the soup. It's really like you just took baby food and put it in a tube sock and dipped it in some warm water. I don't want to know what's not in the soup. I want to know what's in the soup. And by the way, I'm not vegan. I don't mind a little crap floating around in my soup. I like big balls of things and big chunks of animal. That's the fun part of the soup when you hit an iceberg. Otherwise, it's just a bouillon cube and a little hose water, right?
Yeah,
I don't want to know what's not in the soup. soup. I don't want the mixed greens. I don't want the passion fruit iced tea. I want real food, and I want it brought back to L.A.
Wow.
So listen, all you half-a-Fs out there who are running restaurants, start making soup with things in it, not worrying about the things that aren't in it. Yes? All right.
Yes, si, senor.
All right. Stripper names.
Number four.
Out of control. Remember back in the day, you just go to a strip club and the chick said her name was Jordan? You knew it was Sheila or Shelly or Jenny, but it was Jordan, and you were like, all right, her name was Natasha or Candy. You go to a strip club these days, what's your name? Charisma. Allure. I'm Onyx. Some of them are just sounds. What's your name, sweetie? I'm like, okay, listen. I bought the candy. I bought the Jordan. I was down with the Natasha, but I'm not buying charisma and allure. And you're naming yourself after scents at this point. I'm not into this.
They do seem to be daring you to accept it.
Right, and then you have to call them. Hey, listen, I wanted to go to the champagne room with... I wanted to buy a bottle of champagne for... It's ridiculous. And then at some point, they're like, what's your name? And you're like, I'm Greg. Oh, okay. So Greg and... And here's all I'm saying. Why are we giving them our real names, huh? First off, I feel like we got more to lose.
That's true.
You leave a wallet behind or, God knows, a credit card or something. Somebody calls your house. You don't want them using your name, right? Hey, where's Kevin? Is Kevin there? This is... I met him over at Bob's Classy Lady. He owes me $80. No, we should be the ones using the fake names.
That's a good point.
Who the hell cares if we know your first name? So what? Your name's Jenny. What am I going to do? Open the phone book and stalk you? You're already naked on my lap. I don't have to stalk you. I know where to find you. You're at the stripper pole and you're nude. Do you really need to stalk nude people who you can pay $20 to give you a lap dance already? No, I don't need to. But I need to give you a fake name. So here's my whole thing.
All right.
Next time you go to one of these clubs and you're like, what's your name? I'm Essence. Oh, really? I'm Colonel Duke LaCrosse. I'm Dutch Mannion. Come on down. I'm Dog Dillion. Yeah, I'm Xerxes.
Can we use that?
Yes. That's all I'm saying. Why are we giving them fake names?
That's a good question.
All right, let's do it, guys. And I bet they would get sick of it, and we'd go, how's it feel, bitch?
Number three.
Number three. Blind guys clapping.
Blind guys clapping.
I was watching Scott McIntyre from American Idol.
Right.
He's the blind guy.
Yeah.
He's a blind guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was watching him on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he was clapping, and he was doing a horrible job clapping. Like, he was just doing that bad blind guy. And then I saw this thing on Stevie Wonder, and he wasn't a good clapper, neither was Ray Charles, and I thought, I feel like that's the one thing I could handle if I was blind. You know, they do that thing where the guy, he's blind, right, but he has his pilot's license. And I think, no, I don't think I could do that. Or he's blind, but he sells commercial real estate and makes his own breakfast every morning. I go, there's no way I could get out of bed. But I do feel like I could clap, and this guy can't clap.
Right.
What is it with blind and not good at clapping? This guy's a horrible clapper.
I think they can't see.
I know, but they
that's
can't.
That's my take.
I know, but I knew guys who were blind who couldn't see, who could walk themselves to the bus stop,
right,
get on the bus, go to work, walk up to work, do the work, go back home. I could do none of that, but I do. That. I just close my eyes and clap.
You
no
did.
Problem.
You did,
and it looks fine. Maybe no one wants to correct them.
Maybe that's it.
Seems so picky. I mean, they're blind.
Hey, blindy.
Really? Are you going to go, listen, dude, you clap like an idiot. Let me help you. Are you going to say
maybe
that?
Maybe they've had enough. But I'm telling you, this guy, Scott, couldn't clap to save his life.
Scale Mount Everest, but he can't hit his hands together.
Blind guys do everything these days. And by the way, knock off the hyper-achievement with the blind and the handicap, because it makes me feel bad. You know that thing where it's like, oh, he climbed Mount Everest, yet he has no torso. And I'm sitting home eating a Funyun, crapping myself, like, well, I could get up and use the toilet, but nah, I just think I'll ask myself here. I'm too lazy. You know how that makes me feel?
So stop with the achievement.
I want able-bodied people doing able-bodied things. All right.
Two.
Fat nurses.
Oh, yeah.
Nurses used to be hot, and they used to be skinny.
Yeah.
And you want to know why? What happened? What happened to the hot nurses?
They from stopped the hiring 70? Them for hot?
Mm-mm.
What?
Outfits. Outfits. They used to wear candy striper outfits.
Right.
They suck. If you gained 2 pounds, you would feel it. You know, if you had a weekend where you ate a little chili and on Monday you would feel it. Now they wear scrubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that scrub is essentially a painter's tarp. It's a poncho with like a hole in it for your head. I mean, and as the clothes get bigger, the nurses get bigger. Nurses, ironically, are now morbidly obese. Have you ever seen a group or gaggle or flock or murder or whatever they call themselves? I drove by this place like a nursing, so it was like 8 nurses all out there. Average weight, 472 pounds. They're massive. It's like the, you know what it is? It's the Suge Knight, Black Bouncer, and the Velour Sweatsuit Syndrome. Put that guy in a pair of tight Zeppelin jeans. I guarantee he puts down the hoagie. Put him in that sweatsuit. He'll just fill it out. Yeah. It's like the fishbowl. They keep the bowl small. The fish don't grow. Their bowl is too big. Get them back in the candy striper outfits before they die of diabetes.
All right. That's 2.
All right. Last one. Number one. Biggest Loser. Speaking of fat,
the
have
TV
you seen
show?
The show?
Oh, never, these are the fattest they've
never,
ever had.
Never see the show, but I see the commercials. Mm-hmm. And the commercials they play at 7 o'clock, right when I'm sitting with my kids trying to eat my dinner, and they show the kid on the scale, and the men all have their shirts off.
Yeah.
Now, I don't work for Standards and Practices, but I know you can't show boobies on TV, except right. for you can show male boobies on TV. And to make it worse, they have the teenagers in there. So you got the 14-year-old kid. He's 500 pounds. He's got a D cup. He's got areolas the size of hubcap. I'm trying to eat, and I'm staring at man boobies, and worse yet, underage man boobies, which makes it kiddie porn.
Yes.
Now, the chicks get up there, they wear the sports bras, and by the way, the only thing that's good about a fat chick is a D cup, really? That's the only thing they got going for them, and that's the one part you've decided to cover up, but the dude's D cups I get to see, and by the way, if you put 4 ounces of wife beater on these guys, would it throw off the science? The guy's 467 pounds. You don't think the A shirt? They just all just wear the same tank top. Couldn't we just deduct that from the overall number? Really? When did man booby become fine? Totally fine. The guy's stretch marks, one big boob and stretch marks going all huge areolas. No problem. But yeah. yet, if you watch Survivor and there's some supermodel on a log and she gets hit with the bataka bat and one booby pops out, what do?
Pixelate.
That's God right. forbid you see a hot C cup booby on Survivor, but yet... You get to see 14-year-old male booby. Well, I won't stand for that.
I'm right there with you.
Thank
I'm right
you.
There with you.
Thank you.
AdamCarolla.com. We also have a link through KROQ.com to Adam's fine website and his podcast. Adam, see you next week, man. Thanks for coming in.
Always a joy.
Thank you.
This is a whirlwind of a program. We had the Grilled Cheese Invitational on the show today. We talked all about the NFL Draft. Adam Carolla was just here. We had the Movie Bee. And I can't believe we still have Cindy Margolis ahead of us. I can't believe Cindy just arrived.
Yay!
How about that?
Hi. I'm Hello. So excited to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
We see here that you have the Cindy Margolis Dating Project.
Yes, I do. I'm looking for a man. That's why I'm here, Kevin and Bean. I need a man.
You don't want them, though, right?
Kevin, hey, how dare you?
I'm
clearly.
Just, you heard what
Come
I
on,
said.
I'm checking
I want
standards.
A man.
Here.
A man.
Right,
right.
You're right. A man.
Sorry.
Of course. It's in the title.
No. Yeah, sorry. I'm confused. You, first of all, we're married last time I checked. What's going on with that, Cindy? Does he know, first of all, is my first question.
Yes, he knows. Okay. And actually, he'll be a part of the show to help me find a great guy out there.
Seriously?
I know. We have one of the great divorces
Good
where we're
you.
Best
what?
Friends.
No.
I know. One
what?
In a billion. I know. What can I say? I wish I could sit here and call him an idiot. But, well, he is kind of an idiot.
Well, sure, but...
But, you know...
Well, he's divorcing you.
Exactly.
Clearly, he's not
Hello.
Right. But he is going to be involved in helping you pick a man? Is
well,
that what
no,
you're telling
he'll
me?
Be on one of the shows. You know, it's important because we have 3 beautiful children, so mm-hmm. guys out there have to like kids. And, you know, he's... My husband's going to... Ex-husband. I have to say that. Ex-husband.
Yeah.
You know, has going to be part of my life forever, so... The man of my dreams will have to put up with my ex.
Sure, I understand. Okay. Now, a lot of people are in a situation where you are, where they're divorced, and they're going, well, you know, I'm a young person. I want to find love. Most of them don't say, hey, I'm going to make a TV show about it. Why are you choosing to do this publicly?
It's because I cannot get a date on my own. I have not had a date in 6 months. I am sick of it. I ask everyone and their brother, their mother, or even their dog to set me up. And everyone laughs at me like, oh, ha, you can get a man so easily. Ah, you can get whoever you want. There's a line around your door. But, you know, if you open my door right now, nobody is there.
There's
nobody
no
has asked me out.
Well,
have
you're
you
home.
Given
you're
out
here.
Your address?
Do you want me to give out my address?
No, I can't give out your address.
I can give out my web address. Well, yes, you can go to datecindy@gmail.com and date me. I'm actually, but it's not going to, you know, it's not your typical show because it's me, my time in my life, and, you know, a different variety of men. Yes, there's those wild and crazy reality shows out there, and this will be wild and crazy, too. But it's not like, you know, Rock of Love, like Bret Michaels. There's not going to be a, well, maybe there'll be one stripper there.
It's not like hopefully. The Bachelor or the Bachelorette.
Well, because it's a different age group.
Sure.
You know, so it's more like a single mom and, you know, this time in my life. And I've never been single my whole entire life.
Wow.
So this is the first time that I've ever been out there before.
You can believe why many of us are skeptical that a woman like you, who is very famous and very beautiful, would ever have trouble attracting a man. I mean, I'm being completely serious here. Like, I can't get my head around why something like that would be. What do you think the reason is?
I don't know. I hear the violins.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I just haven't been able to meet anybody. It's hard here in Los Angeles, and I'm hoping to find an LA guy because I live here. And I just haven't been, you know, I'm not really the hanging out at bars. I'm not the bar chick and stuff like that. And you actually have to bump into someone with your car here to meet them. So,
well, here's what I know.
I'm not into car accidents.
I know only one thing, and that's that if you want to find a quality guy, you have to do it on a reality show.
I
know that's for a fact.
I even tried online dating, and that didn't work.
You did?
I did.
What did you try online?
Well, I actually found some really sweet guys online, and then, well, I didn't post my picture.
Of course not.
And so when it came down to the time when I really wanted to meet them, then I said, okay, well, I have to tell you something. And I did say, you know, I sent my picture, and I said, well, I'm Cindy Margolis. And then they just changed completely. And they weren't the same person that I really liked, you know, over the phone
so
or over the internet.
So kind of poisoned it.
I poisoned myself.
Yeah. what changed? What is it about you being a celebrity did they not enjoy?
Is it that they
had problems with the fact that you had done Playboy or what?
Ooh. Well, no, I'm fine with the fact that they've seen me naked already. But
I'm saying, was that what bothered them? Is that one of the things that maybe changed their approach?
Weird about it, thinking that I wouldn't like them or something. I think they got insecure about themselves.
It would just be strange. Really intimidating. It would be very different to find out that the girl that you had been emailing back and forth with is actually a celebrity. I mean, it's a whole new layer of pressure.
Yeah,
I think that would freak a guy out.
And even one time I said, I'm going to let them know. I'm going to send them my picture, tell them who I am. They can go to my website. And then I didn't even hear back. And we were supposed to have a date. I was even stood up.
Wow.
This is crazy.
Guys need to grow a pair.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No kidding.
I've never been single. I actually met my husband on a blind date. Mm-hmm. So that was like my one date I went on. And
you've
so,
only been on one
amazing.
Date. I have not been. That's why I need a reality show, because so they can fix me up and I can go out and have fun. I'm sick of staying home on Saturday nights.
Okay. But if the fear is the pressure of, oh my God, she's Cindy Margolis and she won't like me, or I can't compete, or I'm not interesting enough. How is it going to be any easier having television cameras on them over dinner, tracking every single move?
That's why I'm putting it out there, to find those guys that will want to do that, who really will. And I want them to also, you know, like me for me. Of course, yes, hopefully they've downloaded me. And if they've seen me naked in Playboy, that's great too. But I want them to also come meet the reality of me, which is not always a fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Can it be, though?
I wish that, yes, do I wish that I rolled out of bed looking like this, and do I walk around in high heels and a bikini all day long? Of course, if you want to think that, but
that's what we'd like to think, if you don't mind.
Sometimes it's the flannels and the zip medicine.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're going to take a quick break. Cindy Margolis is here. Is it called officially the Cindy Margolis Dating Project? Because I know at one point it was Sex in the Cindy. I'm glad you dropped that title.
Or Seducing Cindy. We're still working on the title, but right now casting is only for the next week, so I have to beg you guys to hurry up and go to datecindy@gmail.com now, please.
Okay, and eventually it will air on the Fox Reality Channel. That's going to be the home for this thing. All right, if you have questions for Cindy about this, I don't think we're looking for guys that want to call. We don't want to take calls from guys who just want to date Cindy, because if you want to do that, go to the email address, datecindy@gmail.com. But if you have questions,
I want them to call and date me. I want to be asked out finally.
If you have questions about this project, or about Cindy, or about what she's been telling us, or you've got stories to share, we want to hear from you. And we have more questions about the kind of guy that you're going to be looking for, because I don't know at this point whether you're just looking to get laid, whether you're looking to get married again, I don't have any idea what it is you want out of this. So we'll find out.
All those sound good.
When we return with Cindy Margolis right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Our friend Cindy Margolis is in the studio right now. She is looking for love, apparently, on the Fox Reality Channel. If you want to date her, you can email datecindy@gmail.com. How many guys you run into like Psycho Mike who are offering to murder their wives in order to appear on this show, Cindy? Because that struck me as a little extreme.
I thought that was very romantic.
Yes.
That was the first proposal I've ever had.
The first thing he said was that she's frail. So.
Yes. Yeah, you know.
It just seemed to me like maybe that would be a deal breaker for you. Like, you don't necessarily want to start a relationship with someone who has killed. I don't know. I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I'll take anybody.
Okay.
Killer's right. Welcome.
For real, Cindy, what are you looking for? What's this about? Are you fairly recently divorced. Are you looking to jump back in to get married? Is that something you've thought about or what?
I just would like to jump back into the dating scene because I actually never have been in it. So
you just want to do that.
I just want to be able to go out there, meet a, you know, good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, love has no age. There's not an age limit. You know,
what if he's 80?
Then he's 80.
All right.
If we click, we'll see if he's 18 or 80. As long as he's legal and
okay.
can still get it up, it's good.
All right.
It's
good.
All good.
All right. Let me ask you this then. And this is a problem that only celebrities have, but it's a very fine line between people who are fans of yours, so would like to go out with you, and people who are too much of a fan of yours and would like to go out with you, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, that's what I'm a little scared about because I totally get the fun fantasy and you can see everything on the internet, but you know, that's what it is, a fantasy. So I'm just hoping that somebody really will like the reality of me, and that's always not so much fun as I would like to say.
What do you think you have to offer a guy in a relationship?
Well, I think I'm loyal and I love to, you know, want to be romanced, and I'm just hoping to be, you know, I just want to be swept off my feet to have that, you know, beginning passion, that feeling. I haven't had that in so long. And just, you know, of course my kids are my first priority, so they have to love kids, but just to understand that, you know, I'm also a mom, but I'm really out there, you know, wanting a man because it's all about, you know, having a good time for me too.
And don't forget, you have giant cans.
Well, don't forget that. That's,
I mean,
you know, that's really all I have going for me, so I'm putting them out there, you know, to hopefully get a man. Hopefully they'll be like magnets or something.
I wonder if it's intimidating. It's so interesting. I mean, people are interesting, relationships are interesting, and everyone is different. Everyone is complicated in different ways. But you're talking about how you want to be swept off your feet. But for a lot of guys, they look at you and they go, well, you're kind of a self-made woman. I mean, you're obviously smart and obviously built your career from the ground up and made millions of dollars doing it. I mean, that's got to be very intimidating for some guys because they don't necessarily start the relationship thinking they're going to be in the upper hand.
Well, I think that would be a good thing because, the internet's been wonderful to me, so I don't need a man for, you know, a regular guy is good. I don't need them for their money, and, well, I don't want to be a sugar mama either.
Could you? I was just going to ask that.
Would
you
be
willing to let
a
guy just play video games all day?
Well, I let him play with me all day, but not video games. If he's willing to do that, then I'll support him.
let's take a call from Rachel. She is calling us from Corona on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking to Cindy Margolis. The Fox Reality Channel has a dating show. You can date Cindy at gmail.com, or you can call now if you have questions for Cindy. Rachel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Cindy. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean.
Hi there.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You want to date her?
No, thanks.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wow.
That hurts.
See, that's what I get.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Well, I don't know. I'm 22, so I'm not into the cougar thing yet, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay, take the knife out of my back. Wait. Seriously, Rachel.
All right, you have a question.
I'm just kidding. I love you, Cindy. My question was, when you did your online dating and when you actually show them your picture and said, I'm Cindy Margolis, did anybody ever not believe you?
Totally.
That's a good point, Rachel.
Yes, that did happen to me twice. Yeah, they didn't believe me, and I had to actually prove it.
Guys kind of learn that you don't trust pictures on the internet because it could be anyone, it could be anything.
Well, I didn't put my picture up, so I finally did send them my picture. Yeah, they absolutely did not believe me.
And they wrote back, seriously, send a picture.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's me, it really is me, and then they changed, or maybe they didn't believe me.
That's a good question. Maybe that's why the dude disappeared, because he's like, all right, I don't know.
Now that makes me feel better.
Yeah, I know. Every time a girl has said,
Rachel, thank you for helping my self-esteem.
She started out insulting you, and she turned it right around.
I appreciate that.
I've had more than one girl send me a picture of Cindy Margolis claiming it was her, too, by the way. That's not uncommon. Let's try Jennifer in Simi Valley. She's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jen. You're on with Cindy Margolis. Go ahead.
Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. So basically, I have a friend. He's 26 years old. Total nice guy. Met him in school, and you know he has trouble with girls because he's the nice guy. You know, especially girls our age, you know, they want to play the game, they want chase, and you know, he's not about that. You know, what type of guy are you looking for?
That sounded like a really great guy right there. You know, I'm not into the game players or the, you know, the cocky guy, and I don't want to have to fight somebody for the mirror, so.
Yeah.
Well, Mike is out now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mike is definitely out.
Sorry.
You're not going to kill your wife for me now?
But doesn't nice guy equal boring?
No. Nice guy equals attentive and sensitive and being there for you and, you know, can be emotional and show their feelings. That's what I think a nice guy is.
And when you're mature enough to appreciate a nice guy.
Oh, okay. That's my problem.
You know, when you're younger, it's the bad boy thing and all that stuff. But no, I'm completely over that. No, I want somebody who's a good guy.
So, Jennifer, have him send name. You want to know what they do for a living, right?
Well, name and a picture and
phone number.
Why you hopefully want to date me and come on my show.
Okay.
There So, 18 and up is what you're looking for. And when are you going to start filming this thing?
We're filming in June, but casting ends in a week from today. So, you got to hurry up.
Well, I suspect you will get plenty of people who want to be on this TV show. I don't think you're going to have any
trouble.
Well,
now I got two girls calling me.
Yes, you do.
I didn't get any offers
yet.
Are
you accepting women?
Well, neither of them wanted to go out with me.
I know, but I'm saying if for the show, maybe
well,
you
if I
should.
Find an exceptional woman,
that's
yes.
That's what I'm talking
about. Okay. DateCindy@gmail.com. That is the email address, and we've got that for you here at K-Rock if you can't remember it. Cindy, please let us know how this comes out. I'm curious to see what your adventure is
going
to
be. I'm going
to
come back with the love of my life.
That would be awesome.
I hope that's true. Thanks for coming in.
Okay, love you guys.
Thank you. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You still have time. You have until tomorrow to get Heidi and Spencer something for their wedding.
Yeah, go right out and do that.
Getting married tomorrow in Pasadena, California. Got a lot of emails from folks who say they live in the neighborhood of the wedding, where the church, rather, where the wedding's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California, and saying, it's already a nightmare in their neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Paparazzi, cars, trucks unloading, equipment, it's just a nightmare.
You don't want the Octomom to move into your neighborhood. You don't want Brittany to buy a house near you. You never want to have Spencer and Heidi stop by.
Once again, it's the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California. I'm not suggesting anyone go there and cause a ruckus or upset their day in any way.
You seem to be giving out the location
quite
specifically,
I'm just reporting the story. It says in the story that it's going to be the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California.
I see.
And that the rehearsal dinner is at Wolfgang Puck's restaurant Cut in Beverly Hills this evening.
At what time?
I'm not suggesting anyone upset the proceedings. I'm just reporting the news.
We're saying don't do that. Don't upset it.
No.
If someone pulls up with a truckload of raccoons and lets them out in the church.
I would be against that. I would
say
don't do that.
Okay.
I say respect their privacy and the love that they share together. Give them as much respect and privacy as they deserve. That's what I'm saying.
I hear you.
Excellent.
Michelle Williams may be getting married as well. She's been dating director Spike Jonze for some time now. It looks like the two are going to make a trip to the altar as soon as this summer. So congratulations to Michelle Williams, a woman who's been through a lot after losing her longtime love, Heath Ledger, and the father of her daughter. Looks like she's finally found someone she can settle down with. So
that'd be nice.
She's a terrific actress, too.
Oh. She sure is. Speaking of good actors, Hugh Jackman. His portrayal of Wolverine is quite intense, and now we know how he gets to that level of intensity.
Oh.
He says before many scenes, he would jump into an ice-cold shower or bath to make his performance more authentic.
Ice cold shower or bath?
He said plunging into super cold water makes him very angry.
Yes.
And in that way he was able to tap into the passion of the character.
Stabbing yourself would do the same thing. Probably not a good idea.
Probably not. I'm just saying. That's how he gets into character.
All right.
In the words of Laurence Olivier, why don't you try acting, dear boy? It's so much easier. And Suri Cruz, she's a lucky girl. Star Magazine reports that here's what her week is like if you're Suri Cruz.
Okay.
Language lessons, dance classes, art classes, private soccer lessons, and cooking classes.
Wow.
Does she get to watch
she's
TV?
Two and a half. She's two and a half, by the way.
She wow. has cooking classes?
Cooking classes. That's what her week is like. What are you making, PB&J? What do you make? You learn how to put the quick into the chocolate milk and then stir it with the spoon? What are you cooking at two and a half?
This is what's annoying is that they have to throw that stuff in our faces as if because she's the best kid ever.
She's a super child.
You certainly can't overload a child's mind at that age. That's for sure.
Listen.
With too much.
Set aside some time during that week, Tom and Katie, for therapy. Might as well get her in here now because she needs it. And a little update on a story I gave you last week about the cheerleading coach from Orangevale, California, near Sacramento. Who was fired from her job at the high school because she had posed nude for Playboy online.
Mm-hmm.
Carly Beck took the photos in October for a members-only part of the Playboy website. And she was fired when a parent of one of the students took the photos, printed them out, and slopped them on the desk of the principal and said, "Is this the kind of person you're allowing to work in your school?"
And he should have said, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
If now, it's members only, the kids could never see it anyway.
That's right, Lisa.
Wait, was she naked or was she in a members only?
Oh. Now, keep in mind, the parent, Heather Janello, who ratted this woman out, says she wasn't angry that her daughter wasn't allowed to try out for the cheerleading squad because of unexcused absences at the school. That wasn't the reason she
did it. That's not why she
did
it?
That's not why she's angry.
Oh, well, what was it?
Because
then?
She believes a woman of this caliber should not be teaching at a high school.
I see.
Well, protests have been sparked by the student population. It's been a big brouhaha. The school has not rehired Carly and has no comment. However, it just announced today that Playboy has hired her to do yet another photo shoot. And she's taking them up on it. And she's going to make her money.
Good for her.
You don't want a woman like that teaching cheerleaders.
You want her naked?
Sure. Underage girls in short skirts and tight sweaters that ooze sexuality. That's okay. An adult posing for Playboy, unacceptable.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Just saying. It's a happy ending.
It's crazy. It's just, it's insane that people are going to pass a moral judgment on an adult who chooses to take photos like that.
Yeah.
For other adults who enjoy them. It's crazy.
Remember when Bean did his Playgirl layout? We were saying we support you 100%.
Yeah. And I appreciate it very much.
Yes.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Today's celebrity. The worst selling issue in the history of the magazine, by the way.
It was returned, I believe.
They didn't even publish it.
They returned the issue. People were buying them and returning them. Today's celebrity birthday, Shirley MacLaine is 75 years old. Today, Barbara Streisand turned 67. Cedric the Entertainer. And he is. You know what? He is the entertainer. He's an entertainer. I see him, I get entertained. He entertains me. He is 45 years old today. Jamin Hunsu.
Hey.
Is 45. Melinda Clark turns 40 years old today. She, of course, of OC fame. Eric Balfour. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Is 24. And 6 Feet Under star is 32 years old. Kelly Clarkson turns 27. And Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects turns 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Last night on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, Allie Larder stopped by to talk about her new movie, Obsessed. And Anthony Anderson, who's now on Law & Order. Also dropped by tonight on the show. Neil Patrick Harris will stop by and talk about, of course, How I Met Your Mother. Actress Emily Deschanel.
Oh, yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Check it out tonight. Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. It's on 12:30 a.m. just after The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Jay won't be on tonight because he's sick. It'll probably be a rerun.
Yeah.
But Jimmy will be on. You can only check it out on NBC4.
So that's it.
So we're done.
And some junk until 5 o'clock this afternoon for Kevin Amin's Cinco de la Tarde.
Yep. That's right.
See you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
No.
Pass it over to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Meatloaf.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So was Mr. Wizard syndicated or what?
Roll another one.
Yes,
I want to take my pants off.
Just like the other one.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty.
I need another hit.
Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Zero, the new one from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Cat will also have The Offspring for you, Rise Against, and a band called Lit out of the OC on the way from K-Rock.
Roll.
Yes.
I don't have another cent.
They really pay themselves this time. How are they going to top next year? Who knows?
But don't bogart that joint.
What is up with Whitey?
Just pass it around.
Wordplay.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
I used to be legit. In fact, I was too legit.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey! You guys going to Heidi and Spencer's wedding?
Oh, you know it.
Yep.
What are you wearing? Hope we don't wear the same thing.
It's so embarrassing when that happens.
I just got a new dress from Bebe. I know, I'm a little old for it, but I still think I can pull it off. Bebe. What the name is that for a store anyway?
Oh, Ralph.
That's a great question, but you can't use that language.
Bebe. Yes, Heidi and Spencer getting married tomorrow in Pasadena. Apparently, the folks in the neighborhood surrounding the Westminster Presbyterian Church, where it's all happening, not too pleased. Their streets are being closed off, trucks being moved in, making their life a living hell. Well, at least Heidi and Spencer are staying true to themselves and making people miserable.
Sure.
Even on the day of their wedded bliss.
Everywhere they go.
Apparently, we're going to talk to them, right? Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
On their honeymoon, they're going to call in.
Sure they are.
That's what they tell us. Speaking of relationships, Anna Kournikova, still denying she's engaged, but Star Magazine admits, has spotted her running around with a 4-carat diamond on her finger that she does admit is from boyfriend Enrique Iglesias. Well, it's not really from him, it's from the mole.
The mole gave it to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe she's only marrying the mole.
But she still says they're not engaged. So.
Wasn't there a story about her several years ago with a hockey player?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. She was secretly wed, yes.
Yeah, they were secretly
wed. What's with her in the secrets?
She doesn't like anyone to know her business.
Dear God.
She's the opposite of Heidi and Spencer.
Get out of my business.
She's Soviet. She's got to keep everything.
She's a commie. That's true.
Gotcha. Oh. Is she playing tennis anymore, or is she retired?
Is that code?
No, she's a professional
tennis
player.
Tennis with the robots? Wink, wink. You know what I'm saying?
I think she's retired.
She wasn't even playing when she was playing,
that's
really.
That's what I'm saying.
Not really.
Right?
Not really.
Yeah, she had one good year, if I remember correctly, where she came close at Wimbledon or something. But basically, people just wanted to see her play because she's so hot.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's correct.
Orlando Bloom and his sexy girlfriend, Miranda Kerr, seem to be going strong. He is making a movie in Durham, North Carolina, and she has flown down there just to be close to him. Well, she must love him if she's going to hang out in North Carolina. North Carolina blows. You ever been to North Carolina?
I have not, no.
It sucks.
Does it suck?
Yes.
I hate to be contrary. I've spent a lot of time in North Carolina and enjoyed it very much.
I got to agree with B. North Carolina rips hard.
Especially my father's from there, so I actually visited quite a few times. I had a lot of relatives there.
I'm still with Ralph. Blows.
Yeah, it blows.
You've never been there.
I have not. it's not required.
It's flat and dull and backward.
And produce
Bean's dad. Now I see where Bean gets it from. And Miley Cyrus's boyfriend's a thief.
What?
He has been showing up at Miley Cyrus's house with flowers for her, and it turns out he's been picking them from the neighbor's yard.
Yeah!
That's a class act.
Awesome.
Neighbors aren't too pleased. They're asking Miley's parents to please inform Justin Gaston that he needs to maybe buy some flowers for his girlfriend instead of plucking them from their garden.
Wow.
I saw in Curb Your Enthusiasm one time, if you go by a funeral home, you can usually find some on a, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On a great
cemetery,
yeah,
too.
Cemetery, yeah. You find some flowers there that are usually pretty fresh. Steal those.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Shirley MacLaine is 75 years old today. Singer, director, actress Barbara Streisand celebrates her 67th. Cedric the Entertainer is 45. Jamin Hunsu from Blood Diamond, Amistad, Never Back Down. He is 45 years old today. Melinda Clark turns 40 from the OC. Eric Balfour
Eric.
From 24 and 6 feet under is 32. Kelly Clarkson's 27. And Tyson Ritter of All American Rejects celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.